Good Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, who's ready for another hot day today? How about that? Heated.
Nobody put their hands up, Bonnie.
He's looking around.
I don't see anyone.
We got another heat advisory that's going to kick
in.
I suppose we really haven't had a heat advisory since last week.
What? I think this every day has been a heat index as far as I'm concerned.
Must be going to be sticky because 97's our high temp today.
Yeah.
And they've got National Weather Service has heat index values of up to 101 degrees today. I do see tomorrow that Dean on our website has a 70% chance of scattered showers and thunder showers.
Well, cross your fingers and hope it's here and hope that we get, number one, get that moisture that we need and hopefully that at least for the rest of that day that it knocks the temperature down 20 degrees or something during the rain. And
84
then,
tomorrow for the high. So that's
that's
better than 97.
Yeah, well, way better. I mean, anything's better than 97, right? Unless it's 98.
Well, we'll see some 80s later on this week and then the 90s Sunday and Monday back up into the 90s. Mm. And I see Tuesday dropping off into the 80s. So warm weather pattern continuing.
Yeah.
I guess. Enjoy it for what it is.
I guess if you enjoy it.
Some people do.
Yeah, I know. Some do.
Yeah.
I don't.
I do not. Well, we asked the question in the morning a week or so ago, and most people responding didn't love the
No,
the
didn't love the weather, didn't go out in it, et cetera. So, you know.
I just think it makes it, you know, if you have to just be out briefly, it's fine. But if you want to go to an event and you want to spend several hours, it's just – it's not fun being out in the 90s.
Especially when you get in the 90s and then you add that humidity on top of it. That just is a bad combination. And, you know, you're trying to, you know, you even go outside and do something.
Did you get a mosquito? No,
it was a different kind of bug. Caught me off guard there. You go out and try and let the dog out. And then, of course, the dog goes out and just, you know, comes in panting. And you're just like, dude, I'm sorry. It's kind of hot. I saw this cute video the other day, and I don't know where it was at, but it was on the old TikTok. And someone's dog had gone out, but they had let the dog out for like 5 minutes. But it's hot like it is here. Mm-hmm. It's hot and humid, and there's a heat index. It's not safe to be out, especially, I mean, you think about a dog. Mm-hmm. Fur coat, they can't take that fur coat off, you know. And so the dog was just sitting there talking back to the owner going, you know, just like, I can't let you out. It's too hot. Maybe we'll go out later for like 3 minutes. And the pup just wanted to go outside so badly.
Yeah,
and
they
just
don't
can't
understand.
Do it.
No. Exactly. Yeah, I know. I just a couple times a week go over to my son's and let Zeus out. Mm-hmm. And on those hot days, he's just a panting in a couple minutes.
He's
a pup.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's not good weather for him. And then on top of it, when we get into the 90s, then if you're people that are walking your pets, you got to take into consideration if you cross asphalt or concrete, you know, sidewalk stuff, that's super hot on their paw pads. So, I mean, walking out there with either shoes or sandals on, so you got to take that in consideration for them,
I would hope most people know better. I did see a TV package last night where one of the people from one of the shelters was saying, like, if you are going to walk your dog, like, do it early in the morning or late at night when it starts to cool off in the heat. But I think the biggest thing is most of us, fingers crossed, are looking for that rain tomorrow.
Oh.
So.
I very much am. I mean, just looking at my yard and how it's been drying out. And I know that, like you had said, you had had the granddaughter out playing in the sprinkler and where that water went, it really kind of perked up the lawn. So I'm hoping for just, you know, I know Dean says maybe a quarter. Average is supposed to be like maybe a third of an inch around town. But anything I think would help perk up a lot of people's lawns because ours is getting pretty crunchy.
I know. I walked to the backyard to water some of my flowers yesterday. It was like crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if Dean increases that chance, what he's thinking and how much rain he's thinking. Yeah. I know it did inch up a little bit here across parts of our region yesterday, but he'll have a better track of it when he gets in coming up in the next hour. A man was arrested after the SWAT team responded to a North Fargo residence last night. Police say Christopher Pankowski, who has no permanent address, was taken into custody without incident. He was wanted on active warrants from multiple jurisdictions, and previous attempts to locate him had been unsuccessful. He's now facing new charges of terrorizing and felonious restraint. If you see emergency vehicles near Liberty Middle School in West Fargo today, don't be alarmed. Police and fire, along with regional public safety agencies, will be conducting active shooter training at the school from 8 until 5. North Dakota State Troopers continue targeting distracted driving following several fatal crashes tied to cell phone use. Captain Brian Niewin says officers frequently inspect devices after major collisions to hold distracted drivers accountable.
We had three fatals that happened in 1 month here in my region here that all three individuals were on Snapchat at the time of the crash.
Niewin also addressed public video recording during traffic stops, saying troopers welcome cameras because squad cars already record every interaction. A Wahpeton man suffered serious injuries in a crash Monday night near Mackville. It happened 4 miles south of town. 54-year-old Wahpeton man was northbound on a gravel road when he tried to pass a slower-moving vehicle. Dust from passing diminished visibility, and the pickup collided with another pickup driven by a 53-year-old Mackville man. The drivers of both pickups were taken to the hospital in Grand Forks. A state audit of Valley City State University reveals missing documentation for thousands of dollars in tuition waivers. A report issued by the state says auditors found the university failed to properly record or approve nearly $200,000 in cultural diversity waivers and over $73,000 in rural teacher support waivers. Without required applications, essays, or employment verifications on file, auditors could not confirm if over 190 students were eligible. Valley City Police say a real estate scam has surfaced in town. A recent incident, a scammer advertised properties in North Dakota, including Valley City, as being able to rent or purchase. Interested individuals were then directed to complete an application and pay a monetary deposit. The purpose of the scam is to steal both your money and personal information. They've been advertising on TikTok and other social media platforms. Police say if you've fallen for the scam, make sure you contact your bank and then report it to police. And extreme heat's taking a heavy toll on South Dakota agriculture. Governor Larry Roden says prolonged temps over 100 degrees have created severe challenges for producers, with feedlots reporting livestock losses and hay crops falling short heading into fall.
We got word yesterday that we lost quite a number of fat cattle and feedlots across South Dakota from the heat.
Roden also notes that while eastern corn and soybean crops show promise, livestock producers face a tough road ahead as dry conditions persist. 5:07, time for a check on our WDAY radio sports with Jace Denman.
Thank you, Bonnie. Royce Lewis, well, he hit a two-run triple, with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, give the Twins a 3-2 victory over the Kansas City Royals last night. Taj Bradley threw six innings. For the Twins, who have won three in a row and 5 of 6, so we're coming. They are third in the AL Central, just two games behind first place Chicago. They are at 500 at 54-54, which, of course, we can ask James when he comes in at the top of the 6 o'clock hour, Bonnie. But I think that might shift the Twins' front office mentality, where they might be, as James has said, kind of soft buyers. They may be looking to add some talent. And not trade away talent, just because it looks like they are kind of in the middle of that wild card race. And with the way playoffs and professional sports are, when you have the opportunity to make the playoffs, I think you should take that opportunity, not overspend, obviously, to you know, sell the farm to try and get in, but try and make some moves to solidify your rotation, solidify your lineup, and then try and see what happens when you get in the playoffs. You know, anything can happen when you get there. So we'll see what the Twins do at the trade deadline, which should be coming up shortly. Cody Clemens doubled for Minnesota in the fourth and scored on Josh Bell's single. Center field Byron Buxton left in the fifth with right hip soreness after running to first base, so that's par for the course. It's the same joint that caused him to miss the All-Star game last month. Twins and Royals continue their series tonight. First pitch scheduled for 6:40 p.m. Full game coverage available on twins.tv. Joe Ryan is scheduled to be the starting pitcher tonight. So we'll see how that goes for the Twins tonight, because they could definitely use another win and get above 500, which feels like the first time in a long time for the Twins. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks, they fell short in their series opener to the Lincoln Salt Dogs 5-3 last night. Jose Sermo now has a record, American Association record, 170 home runs in his career, 24 on the season. Jabari Henry, former record holder, had 166. So Redhawks fall to a league a record of 32-30 on the season. Tonight, the first pitch is scheduled for 7:02 p.m. as always. Last night, a little bit of a weird game. Toronto's, you know, an expansion team, Bonnie, in the WNBA, but they are pretty decent. They're a solid team. They have a losing record right now, but they're overall, they're pretty decent. They took on the Minnesota Lynx last night at Target Center. And at one point, I believe in the third quarter, after they trailed at the end of the first, they were up by 10 at the end of the half, extended that lead to 13 going into the fourth quarter. Lead ballooned up to 17, and before you knew it, I think that lead got down to like 2 points in the fourth quarter. So they had to kind of find a way to close things out. And I'm not seeing, I think it, Anna Antonia Delari, I forget how they pronounce her name. She scored 12 points. She knocked down four threes. I believe all of them were in the fourth quarter.
Oh, wow.
So she came off the bench and provided that spark. So rookie Olivia Miles, 24 points. They extend the Lynx extend their winning streak to 8 games with a 193 victory over Toronto last night. Miles with a number of highlight passes last night. Courtney Williams even had a highlight pass to Nafisha Collier, who went back into double figures once again in her second game back on the season. But Olivia Miles, I think she ended up with a steal last night, and she throws a between her own legs bounce pass behind her to Kayla McBride to knock down the three. It's just, I mean, she's just a walking highlight. Kayla McBride, her streak of 20 point games came to an end last night. She only had 18, so close but no cigar. Lynx shot 56% from distance. So Nafisha Collier, 15 points. Natasha Howard had 13. They are now 23-6 on the season, still best record in the league. Trade deadline is coming up for the WNBA as well. The Lynx will take on the Toronto Tempo again on Thursday in Toronto. With that trade deadline coming up, they're at least a little bit, maybe a little hesitation for Lynx fans, because obviously Nafisha Collier is a 2-time-in-a-row runner-up for a league MVP. There isn't chatter about trading her, but herself and her management team, I suppose, is going to have to talk with head coach and general manager Rochelle Reeves, because the question is that she's on a one-year contract right now. So is she going to resign a multi-year deal? Because if she doesn't want to be in Minnesota, she's shown that she can still play at a very high level, so maybe you trade her at the deadline. A lot of Lynx fans, myself included, are hoping that is not going to happen, but we'll have to wait and see. Tonight you can tune into Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself, as we'll get you up to speed in the wide world of sports.
All right, it's going to be a hot one today. Heat advisory will be posted from 1 this afternoon until 9 tonight. Heat index values of up to 101 degrees are expected. You know the routine. Drink plenty of water and try to take some breaks in the air conditioning. Stay out of the heat if you can. Sunny and hot, 97 our actual high temp, but again, heat index 101 expected. Southwest winds 5 to 10, 70 for the overnight low. Tomorrow, fingers crossed, many of us will see that rain that's in the forecast. I know a lot of areas looking for rain. Partly to mostly cloudy, humid, with scattered showers and thunder showers. Dean at this point has a 70% chance of that, so we'll see if he keeps it there. Maybe increases it more coming up at the top of the hour. 84 for our high temp, south winds 5 to 10, 63 the overnight low. Partly sunny, 87 our high on Friday, partly sunny, breezy, 88 for Saturday, and then back up to 97, sunny, hot, breezy on Sunday, south winds 15 to 25 miles an hour. And it looks like Monday, 98 for our high temp with a chance of some showers and thunder showers, and then we'll drop down to 82 on Tuesday.
All right.
Yeah, well, I don't know what goes further than that, because we only have a seven-day forecast on our website. But hopefully we'll get into a pattern of, okay, let's keep it in the 80s there, lower 80s for a
lower
while.
Lower 80s, high 70s. Yeah, that'll be great. You need to be like, that's not realistic, guys. Well, yeah. We can dream, can't we?
But we'll see. We'll be flipping the calendar. It's crazy. July's wrapping up here already. What, Saturday, August 1st, isn't it?
Yeah, Saturday, August 1st. I thought you were going to say Saturday was the last day of July, but no, it's Friday is the last day of July, and we're into August already.
It's been good, though. It's been busy. I mean, there's been so much stuff going on that I think for the most part, a lot of people have been enjoying, you know, getting out and enjoying the summer events. Maybe a little hotter than
A little hotter than you want. But at the same time, you know, we go through, you know, it's always that January into February.
We know what's coming.
That's the part that really kind of kills you. But then you get into spring and the summer, and it, you know, sometimes we're in this mode like we are now with 90-degree heat that is just too much for me. But at the same time, it's so nice being able to leave the house for work or for appointments or whatever. You don't have to worry about bundling up. You don't have to worry about starting the vehicle and getting it warmed up. You can just go out there. You don't have to worry about, you know, shoveling the driveway. So it's one of those things where, you know, before you know it, I'm going to be like, man, I should have got my snowblower serviced. You know, which I got to get that done before. Yeah, I know.
We have clear skies right now, 69 degrees at our WDAY radio studios. High top I 29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south southeast, 5 miles an hour. It is 5:15 on your Wednesday. We're going to get your national news in from ABC, then a song of the morning, question of the morning coming up. 5:21, good Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY radio. Question of the morning, what food would you eat every single day if calories didn't matter? Give us a call on the Window and Door Store phone line, 701-293-9000. You can email us on the Glass Doctor Auto inbox, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo Moorhead. Contact Reed and his team today at GlassDoctorAuto.com because that chip can turn into a real budget buster. You can also put your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:26 Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Bonnie Mastati, Jace Denman. Thanks for hanging out with us. Question of the morning, what food would you eat every day if calories didn't matter? Give us a call on the Window and Door Store phone line, 701-293-9000. The Window and Door Store, they specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors. The WDStore.com. You can email us on the Glass Doctor Auto inbox, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I chuckled when I saw Angie's response. Pizza, which is fine, but then she also puts alcohol.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't have as much alcohol as I used to, and I have to savor those moments I get to have a drink. But yeah, that'd be, as far as calories go, when you just look at it that way, yeah, calories, I mean, they just add it up because you don't realize how many calories. I mean, because yeah, I mean, a lot of times I mix stuff with my diet soda. So the soda doesn't have any calories. Well, the alcohol does. Even if it's basically like one shot, I mean, that's still probably at least 100 calories or
and
more.
Some people use regular pop. They don't.
They
do.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I always, like when I was younger, I developed a taste for diet soda. People out there do like regular soda because they think it tastes better. I always thought it tastes really too sugary for me. But, you know, one can of soda is like, I don't even remember. Is that 300 calories or like 200 calories?
150.
So if you have
leave it to me to know that, right?
Yeah,
like
so,
a Coke, 150.
Yeah, so if it's a 20-ounce bottle or something like that, you're even more calories, and those are very much in just empty calories. So,
And I mean, around these parts, too, yeah. How many drinks are people having?
Oh, yeah. Well, I usually don't just have one.
Six, eight,
yeah.
Ten.
Sometimes it's a double, so each drink is like two. So, no, I would probably focus mainly probably on the desserts and sweets and stuff like that. But yeah, pizza. I mean, because to me, it's like every day. Well, I would probably, depending on my mood, I'd rotate between pizza, burgers, other subs and things like that. I would probably
get
rotate
one.
Yeah. So if it's only one, it's probably going to be something like chocolate related. Probably some form of chocolate. You know, just because, you know, you love
and
that.
And then that would be healthy too, right? Like all the chocolate, that's all you're going to eat.
Dark
all day
chocolate,
long,
yeah.
Because we're living in a fantasy world.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now.
Where the calories don't count there. Yeah, absolutely.
I saw, yeah, and you say dark chocolate.
That's supposed to be good for you. That's not my preference. I like milk chocolate.
Oh, you do? Yeah, I think yesterday was National Milk Chocolate Day or something like that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we missed it, Bonnie.
You missed it. I think today is, and I was going to say, a food I would eat if calories didn't matter, lasagna. Uh-huh. It is National Lasagna Day.
Oh, is
today.
It? Yeah, lasagna's good.
My lasagna that I make. Where did I have one? I had one from somewhere that
wasn't so good.
Family had got it. It was okay.
Like a purchase one
at
the store?
It was from a chain restaurant in town.
Oh, yeah.
I think my husband brought it home. I think they had a bunch of food left over from work. I don't know, some kind of truck driver appreciation or anniversary or something. And they had catered in, and they don't have too many employees, so they had a bunch of leftovers. It was okay.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, when you have something that's better homemade and you like what you know what I mean?
And there's also,
like, if you don't know better, then I'm sure that's people
think that's
fabulous.
There's certain places I go that I get their chili that, you know, is actually pretty good. But, you know, when you make it yourself, you put in the things that you like. So it doesn't matter if it's chili,
you
if it's lasagna.
Cater to your taste, to your family's taste.
And so if I prefer to have jalapenos in my chili and other people don't want jalapenos in it, well, then there's a difference right there. So when you make something homemade, you know what's going into it and you put in what you want that you like. So it makes it even better. But, yeah, I mean, there's a number of things that, you know, if you could have it every day, like a lasagna or whatever, that'd be fabulous. But
wouldn't that be?
Yeah, especially because, you know, there's no calories involved.
Right. Crash says, oh, he wants the food he can eat every day. He does the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So he said Sandy's Donuts for breakfast, pizza for lunch, and lasagna for dinner
there
supper.
You go. How nice would it be to have Sandy's Donuts with no calories?
Every day.
Oh, I love those donuts.
You know what? I love the blueberry cake one. That's for, like, if there's a box of donuts that arrive or whatever, that's only
one
I gravitate towards. Otherwise, I can walk away from the donuts.
Oh, really? I had one coworker that we used to, just so that way nobody ever forgot someone's birthday, you would bring in a treat on your birthday. And a lot of us did Sandy's Donuts.
You brought in your own treats on your birthday?
Yeah, because then you shared it with everybody. That way you always had it.
Doesn't sound right.
Well, otherwise everybody has to remember your birthday.
I guess that's fair game, right?
Yeah.
If you know, everybody's
so
doing it.
So you buy a dozen donuts, and usually myself and my coworker, Brett, would usually be the ones that ate the most donuts. But like the apple fritter or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That was one co-worker's favorite. I think another one, they liked the angel cream-filled one, I believe, and some like just a regular, you know, cake donuts or whatever. But there's such a variety over there that you can't really go wrong. But, yeah, the angel cream-filled ones, that was my jam, especially the chocolate angel cream-filled ones.
Maybe you're changing your food to eat every day to donuts.
Maybe.
Now that Crash brought that up.
Any donut that's cream-filled, jelly-filled, Bavarian cream-filled, I mean, you can't go wrong.
I like the ones with the, what is it, the Boston cream or whatever?
Those, yeah.
Yeah, that, like, pudding. What is it? Vanilla pudding or something?
It's kind of like a vanilla pudding.
With
it's kind of like,
it,
you know, it's kind of like almost an eclair, but it's a, you know, Boston cream-filled donuts.
I haven't had one of those in forever. Those are
so
actually
good.
Crash, what did you start with?
I know,
the donuts?
Right?
What food would you eat every day if calories didn't matter? Give us a call. The window and door store phone lines are open. We love chatting with you. 701-293-9000. You can email us on the Glass Doctor Auto inbox, studio at WDAYradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Jamie goes with pizza, but if he gets multiple choices, anything else bad for you? Cheese curds, corn dogs, corn dogs.
Absolutely. How about the giant pretzels with cheese sauce? And
those
are
so darn good.
And or, you know, the ones they have over at Kingpin's, those Sweet Shots, excuse me, they have a giant one that's kind of covered in cinnamon and sugar, and then they've got caramel dipping sauce with it.
Yeah,
so
I don't go sweet. I'd like the cheese sauce if I'm going
to. Well, you have to have a sweet and a savory, so that way you have both.
You and your sweet tooth. My son-in-law, too. He's got a sweet tooth, and then he thinks my granddaughter needs dessert after every meal, including breakfast.
Well, I think technically, I think everybody does need dessert after a good
after
meal.
After breakfast?
Well, not breakfast. That's the one thing I will disagree with. But lunch and dinner, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess I've just never been a dessert type person. I just like the main meal, like savory stuff.
Yeah, and we didn't usually have fancy desserts or anything growing up. Like, we had a cupboard. We'd have a pack. No, we'd have like a pack of cookies or something, like the pre-made ones, you know, just, you know, up in the cupboard. So after that, you'd always see my dad after supper. He'd get up and he'd go to the cupboard and grab out the thing and have a couple cookies or whatever after.
Yeah, and we always had, my mom ate everything, so we always had sweets around, but we all ate dinner, unless it was like Thanksgiving or Christmas where you had a special dessert, it was always available. Usually it was like, if you were going to have a dessert, it was like afternoon coffee break at my mom and dad's.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like 2 in the afternoon, then it's like coffee and a dessert, but we really weren't a dessert after meal family.
My mom's side of the family, though, very much. I mean, I've told you the story. It used to be at Christmas. Christmas time, we'd have a big Christmas, you know, well, of course, we called it dinner and supper down in South Dakota, but we'd have Christmas, you know, lunch, and then like an hour or so later, then we'd bring out lunch, you know. So we'd have dinner, then we'd have lunch, which would be like basically a giant table full of sweets that all of the aunts and uncles and maybe some of the older cousins would bring. And I didn't have a cell phone at the time at a young enough age to be able to take a photo of it.
Yeah.
But the amount of stuff that side of the family would put out in the middle, I mean, we're just coming out of our turkey comas after eating that for either Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. And all of a sudden we've got, you know, cookies, Chex Mix, cakes, anything you can imagine that we have that there. And it's just like, it's a sugar overload. So
but that's what holidays
are
for.
Absolutely.
Go big or go home. Oh, no, you roll home.
Uh-huh.
Go big
and
roll home. That's it. What food would you eat every day if calories didn't matter? Roger says cheesecake with every meal.
Nice.
I love cheesecake. 701-293-9000. We go to the window and door store phone lines, find our friend Mike up in Northwood. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Another warm day ahead of us.
Huh? Yeah, it's going to be a hot one. They've already got a heat alert out, heat advisory from 1 to 9 today, so 97.
Yeah, that came on my phone yesterday, I think, already.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they put it out early. I don't know about you guys up there in Grand Forks County. I don't know if the rain's going to reach you tomorrow either. It looks like, I think Dean was saying along the 94 corridor and south were the best chances, so.
Yeah, mine started out, I think, on Sunday, we were 75-80% chance. Now we're down to about 30.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody, I think, is looking for that rain for the most part.
Oh yeah, they're talking here now. If we don't get nothing out of this stuff, it's probably, they're matching the droughts of the 20s.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
There's cornfields getting burnt up.
Yeah, drought conditions are already bad last week and only continuing to expand. So, yeah, definitely can use it. And I think even Bridget's been saying for 3 weeks already, it's even too late. There's already was damage to the corn crop done weeks back already because it was so hot and dry.
There's some places you look and it's totally brown. It looks like, you know, looks like how a field would look after it's matured and done everything and, you know, waiting to get harvested.
Yeah. I think the only place that was getting dumped on it with a few storms, too, was like northeastern, north central, South Dakota. They got hammered a number of times, but pretty much the rest of the tri-state area kind of looking for some rain.
You go north of here and you mention rain, you might be in for a fight.
Well, they did finally in the last week and a half up in northern Minnesota, they finally did get rain, which because we were kind of watching because of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness Fire up there. They finally get appreciable rain up in the northern Minnesota.
And those poor people there, they get rain. They also get lightning in it.
Yeah.
More stuff.
Yeah, I know. That's the tough part about it. Mother Nature can't do much about it.
Oh, yeah.
What
she does what she wants to.
Yeah, she does. What food would you eat every day, Mike, if calories didn't matter?
Well, I don't count calories anyway, but I eat two, three bottles of Mountain Dew every day.
Mm.
You do already, or you would?
I will. I do.
Yikes.
I have one cup of coffee in the morning, and then as soon as we get to the golf course, I'll crack a Mountain Dew at 8 o'clock.
He's found the fountain of youth. It's Mountain Dew, three bottles a day.
All that sugar and caffeine keeps him going.
Hey, look at you. You're doing pretty darn well at this age.
Yeah. You know, then you end the night off with a couple adult beverages. There, I do light beer, so that makes up for the Mountain Dew.
Mike doesn't care about the food. He just wants all the beverages.
He wants all the drinks. Hey, whatever works, you know.
No. I could also eat pizza. You know, it's many years, you know, before I got married this time and that.
You lived on pizza, probably.
You know, bachelor's best food is frozen pizza.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the frozen pizza. I actually prefer frozen pizza over, you know, from the shops, most of the shops, anyway.
Used to be, I don't know what the brand it was, and you get 10 for $10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Aroma used to be like the real cheap one back in the day. And I don't know, Totino's.
Totino's, yeah. There's some other ones.
And the other half of breakfast.
But nowadays, you're not getting 10 pizzas for $10. Maybe $4 or $5 you can find one on sale for, the cheaper ones.
Oh, you can still get the 20, maybe 3 for 10.
Hmm.
Can you?
Okay. Yeah, some of the cheaper ones, I think you still can. Yeah. But, you know, they're not as filling as you'd like them to be.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true, too.
No, it's cardboard for a crust.
Yeah, exactly.
But it works when you're hungry.
So my grandmother always said, Mike, it'll make a turd.
Yep.
There you go.
That is good for you.
Mike, you have yourself a good day.
If you come out, it'll just good.
Yeah,
there you go.
Also, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, awesome. It is 5:40 Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Subaru puts safety first with EyeSight Driver Assist technology. The system acts like a second pair of eyes. It's been shown to reduce rear-end collisions with injuries by up to 85%. It is the ultimate peace of mind for you and your passengers. Available now at Corwin Subaru in Moorhead. Bonnie and Friends, question of the morning. What food would you eat every day if calories didn't matter? The Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. You can email us in the Glass Dr. Otto inbox, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. It is 547. We have clear skies, mostly clear anyway, 71 degrees. Here at our WDAY Radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Our winds are out of the south, southeast, about 5 miles an hour, and dew point at 68. So it's already sticky out, and it's going to be a hot one.
Yay.
National Weather Service has posted a heat advisory from 1 this afternoon until 9 tonight. Actual high temp 97 here in the metro, with heat index values up to 101 expected. With a warning, drink plenty of fluid, stay in an air-conditioned room, stay out of the sun. Not reality for people that work outside, but...
No, I just... there's so many times we have weather like this or the other extreme in the wintertime, and I just... I'm at a loss for words for those that are out working in this type of weather. I mean, obviously, this time of year is road construction season. A lot of times, it's time to build these additions, and I know like home builders are busy pretty much year round up in this area because we've got so many new developments over the last 20 years since I moved up here. But it's one of those things where I just don't know how you get used to working out in such conditions. I mean, you've got spring and fall, which can be real nice working outside. It's good weather, but all of a sudden summertime comes, you got extreme heat, and the wintertime you got extreme cold, and I just don't know how you're able to manage it.
It's not for everybody, right? And and some of them maybe don't like it at all, but it's good money and they deal with it and it's their job or their career. So
just stay hydrated if you're out and about today, especially if you're working outside, etc.
Yeah. All right, question of the morning. What food would you eat every day if calories didn't matter? The Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000. You can email us in the Glass Dr. Otto inbox, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Brian goes with donuts, Krispy Kreme, he says.
Well, I mean, I didn't have many Krispy Kremes because... That didn't last long in town.
I liked them when they were here. They were just glazed donuts. I don't know if they had any other options. Did they, or was it just glazed donuts?
No, I want to say that they did, but they were most known for those glazed donuts because they had, like, if you went to a store, usually they had an assembly line, but they had the little line so you could see the donuts being made. Like, kind of like how you see the little mini donuts made at Shields Arena that for their stand. You could see them coming around, the little thing floating in the cooking oil, etc. And so you could get them hot and fresh right off of the donut line, if you will. So that was a big thing. I do think they've got some other flavors because we've done some stories. You've found that they've had themes and they've had other combinations with other products that they have, some Krispy Kreme donuts topped with whatever brand of stuff. I forget which story was.
Okay.
But we just did that probably in the last month or so.
Yeah,
so,
I Googled it. Large variety beyond the classic.
I mean,
probably your typical.
Yeah, and it's funny that, you know, I mean, obviously Sandy's Donuts did well enough that kind of put them out of business, but Krispy Kreme was here for a short time. I mean, we're getting that Dunkin' Donuts Walmart.
Okay, it's here. But
is it here?
People are mad about it because they don't have donuts yet. You can just get coffee there.
Here's the thing.
Seeing people grumbling. I guess it's going to take a couple months, but people keep complaining in local Facebook groups here.
Here's the thing with Dunkin' Donuts, that when we went we were in Wisconsin one year for a training, kind of a yearly training with our field office, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts nearby, so we went there for breakfast one morning. And so to me, it almost feels like Dunkin' Donuts. I'm kind of used to more or less them having the coffee drinks and then like breakfast sandwiches and stuff. It's almost kind of like the donut part is kind of been bypassed a little bit. So
different than a lot of people that are grumbling. They want the donuts.
Well, I understand that, and I want donuts too, but it doesn't seem like they have as big a variety of donuts as I was expecting when I was at this place because it was a Dunkin' Donuts in Wisconsin.
I stopped a couple times when my daughter was in the Chicago area to pick up donuts and breakfast for everybody. Yeah. I thought they had a pretty good, and that's what I got. I'd like swing in, grab my coffee and a breakfast sandwich, and then I got donuts for the rest of the crew. But I thought they had a pretty good selection there, but it could vary from market to market, too. I mean, that was Chicago area.
Yeah, it doesn't stick out in my mind is that they had a great variety of donuts, but I think over the years, based on having the coffee in stores and the K-cups, et cetera, it sort of felt like they became almost more known for their really good coffee as opposed to
they
other
were
stuff.
They're very well known for their coffee. Mm-hmm. In fact, their coffee, I don't know if it's still, but I remember, you know, like a dozen years back or whatever, yep, where their coffee was kind of consistently rated number one.
Yeah, I mean, there was a long period, and granted, my wife has kind of gone and gone the cheaper route for some knockoff brands of coffee or whatever, but it sort of feels like for the longest time, that was my preferred coffee, the K-Cups and the ground coffee. That's what I wanted. I wanted Dunkin' Donuts coffee from the stores because it was usually very high quality.
I think I've been using my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. That's what I have a bag of in my cupboard, the beans, mm-hmm, where I grind them up. Like if I'm going to make iced coffee, I'll just make that in the old school coffee pot. Mm-hmm. It's Dunkin'. Like I said, just because they've been known for how good they are.
Exactly. And so that's why it's kind of like, We get on the topic of donuts, and it's like, you know, first choice around here, Sandy's, and then there's the Krispy Kreme crowd that I'm not going to deny. I just haven't had a ton of them. But Dunkin' Donuts, since we don't have anything nearby, you know, you don't get a chance. I mean, going back to the Krispy Kreme thing, I think I told you previously, too, that I had friends that they stopped by, and it was a big deal to get Dunkin' Donuts and In-N-Out Burger in the Phoenix area because I think they had Krispy Kreme. They had a Krispy Kreme and an In-N-Out Burger kind of in the same area of Phoenix, and that was like the only one. So there was just huge lines for either of them. And so it's kind of like when those chains, because Krispy Kreme is down like in the Southeast and In-N-Out is out in California, when they kind of branch out, it gets pretty popular for a short time and sees how it does. But for some reason, Krispy Kreme just didn't last in Fargo.
Mm-hmm. And then, because Sandy's Donuts is king. I mean, and they've expanded over the years, too. Yeah,
they've got like three locations.
Yeah, and they've expanded. They'll like bring them to smaller communities as well across the metro, but communities in Lakes area, too.
I remember in my neck of the woods in West Fargo, I remember them building on to their original Sandy's Donuts to increase production of donuts. And like I said, now they can go downtown and get them. I think there's a place probably a south on
Cheyenne 45th, one or the other, because I've stopped in
like
there
the Osgood area I
kind
think
of
it
over
is.
There, yeah.
And so they've just been really doing a really good job. So, I mean, you know, hat tip to Sandy's Donuts.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Plus, I wouldn't be opposed to Sandy's Donuts sponsoring James and I when we go on the road for Dragon road trips, just because it'd be nice to have donuts on the way there.
Buy your own. What food would you eat every day if calories didn't matter? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. Window and Door Store phone lines are open, 701-293-9000, thewdstore.com. You can email us on the Glass Doctor Auto Inbox studio at wdayradionow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I know Trevor's responded with this in the past, so he must have this love for original Hockey Mom brownies.
Are those pre-made one? Is that just a mix?
I don't know if it's like somebody that he knows that sells these. It's a food truck. When I click on the link, it's gourmet handcrafted brownies.
Ooh.
Laced with love, served with sarcasm. Come for the brownies, stay for the relationship.
Right.
763. So that's a Twin Cities area code, I believe.
Nice.
763. Yeah. I know in the past, like I said, you know what they look like?
What?
Well, this one's cut like a star, but the old lunch lady brownies, those look really
good. That's kind of like, that looks like the old school brownies that my grandmother used to make, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just a brownie, and then they frost them, you know? So it's just, in a sense, it's almost like double chocolate. You got the chocolate brownie, then on top of that, you got this kind of old school frosting on it. Maybe even the frosting that hardens a little bit.
No, this would be soft. This is good, though. But yeah, I have a really good recipe that I got from one of my cousins, and it uses Hershey syrup to make the brownies. So delicious. Six eggs are in that. I haven't made them for a while, but they're like this.
You're going to have to share some of these recipes.
I can make them one. You don't want me to share my recipe. You want me to make them and bring them in. I know you better than that.
Well, I'm not opposed to that either, but it wouldn't be bad to have some of these in my repertoire at home just in case I want to make something sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good recipe, but those look really good. Oh, Katie goes with pasta, food she'd eat every day.
Yeah, I just had some pasta last night. I ate the leftover and a little extra to it. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Yum.
And for me, I just love, even if it's the shredded kind, the good Parmesan cheese, but even the cheap stuff in the container, the dry stuff.
Yeah.
I love Parmesan cheese for whatever reason. I like that dry kind of nuttiness of it. But pasta with some decent sauce on it and a bunch of Parmesan. I mean, that
you fettuccine carbonara.
Oh yeah, fettuccine Alfredo is always good. I mean, just anything and able to put that Parmesan on there.
I think Katie's got it locked in with pasta for life. I like that. 5:56. We're going to check in now with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Breedle. 5:59. Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, Chief Meteorologist EY Saki will be in with that steamy forecast coming up in just a bit.
Great,
hot, just I mean, hot.
Other than Thursday, he's probably, you know, just been able to mail it in most of this week.
I so hope we're getting that rain tomorrow.
Me too.
We need it.
I would, you know, like you said, it'd be nice if it kind of, you know, kind of bumps farther north and we get a little bit more than expected. Because,
give us a nice inch, right?
Yeah, I mean, just, it'd be nice. I mean, granted, I understand you don't want to have severe thunderstorms, etc. But, man, if you could get a, just a nice rainstorm, nice, easy.
Rain that goes over the course of hours.
And, yep. And just that would do so much good for so many people's gardens, so many people's lawns and shrubbery, et cetera. I mean, that would just be awesome right about now.
Well, we'll see what Dino has to say when he gets in here. And then Big Game James McCarty will be in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:02, it is going to be another hot day today.
Yeah.
I mean It's been a hot July, right?
Yeah, it's been hot, and we're at, I think the news channels, because we talked previously about how many days are above average with Dean, and it was 20 so far in this month, but I saw on the news they've had a graphic about the 90-plus degree days, and I believe we're at
now it's a better one.
There you go.
Glad you got your beer.
I think we're at like 12 and climbing, and the record for most days above 90 degrees in July was like, what, 18 or something? Because I think 14 is second place.
Yeah, we won't get there. Now, I was talking with the National Weather Service, and big shout out to Dan out at the Weather Service for digging up this info, but before we're said and done here, we'll probably go down in third place for the most 90-degree days in a summer. We won't get first. I think that's 32 or 33.
That doesn't surprise me. No. And like
it's
I said, I don't recall it, and I don't know when those other ones come in, if it was before my life here on Earth, but I don't ever recall having this many 90-degree days in my lifetime.
2022, we had quite a few.
Hmm.
That wasn't that long ago. Hmm. We all have short-term memory.
Feels like a long time ago.
I don't remember it being this hot. I mean,
feels like another life ago.
Maybe because they're falling on the weekends when we're off of work.
Could be. I mean, if it's 90 degrees during the week, you know, you're inside working, et cetera,
really
here.
Not paying too much attention, but when it falls every weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll be curious to see how that shakes out. 2022, I know that, like, we just topped that 100-degree mark was the first time since 2022. Yeah. But did we actually have that many 90-degree days in 2020?
I will look. I'll look.
We're making him work today.
Man, no kidding. All week, boy.
Because I believe that second place as far as number of 90-plus degree days during the month of July, that was like 88 and 93 or something like that. So it's been a long time since we've had this many.
Yeah, and they're falling on the weekends, which is good because, I mean, for, you know, people work during the week. You want the weekends this time of the year for lakes, for pool.
And those folks that need to work construction or whatever during the week. I bet they're grateful, like, if they're off on the weekend, that real extreme stuff is hitting on the weekends.
That they have some nice weather to enjoy, too. Well, I'll tell you what. We finally have some rain in the forecast. There's going to be some areas, it's not going to be here, but not far from here, that really pick up some decent rainfall totals. And more on that in just a bit. But we topped out another day in the 90s yesterday in the low 90s, and we're going to do it again today. We're currently in the upper 60s to lower 70s across the area, and winds are light. Now, there is a heat advisory in effect for our area up and down the valley for this afternoon as temperatures reach about 96, 97, but those heat index readings are going to be about 102 to 105, so if you're going to be out again this afternoon, again, common sense, stay hydrated. We know the rules. Winds won't be that strong, only out of the south at about 5 to 15. Partly cloudy overnight tonight with lows around 70 or so, and winds out of the south-southwest at 5 to 15. Now, tomorrow, the morning will be dry, so if you have any outdoor plans tomorrow, The morning hours look okay, but showers and thunder showers will start to push in as we head into the afternoon. They'll become more prevalent late afternoon and into the evening. That's when the majority of the storms will push through. Some of them could pack a punch. I'm not expecting really any severe weather out of this, with highs about 86 tomorrow. And then those showers and storms come to an end Thursday night. And then Friday and Saturday, we'll dip it back into the mid to upper 80s. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to touch on how much rain our models are forecasting. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 models I'm going to run down.
Wow.
And let you know what they're forecasting for Thursday evening. And then also, I'm going to take a sneak peek. WeFest, not this weekend, but next weekend. Yep. It's a big, big weekend. And I'll let you know what our models are forecasting for WeFest as well. All of that coming up right after the bottom of the hour. So you want to stay tuned.
We'll be
action-packed at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious, too, like, where exactly do you think this rain is going to set up? Bismarck to Jamestown over here, down south, up north. Right. So,
and like I said, there's going to be areas that pick up some decent rainfall, over an inch. There will be, and I'll kind of pinpoint where our models are expecting that, where I'm expecting that. After 6:30.
All right. What food would you eat every day if calories didn't matter?
Let's see. Oh, boy. Is ice cream considered food?
Bonnie says it is, because Bonnie put that on our Facebook page.
You know,
you love ice cream.
I love ice. I love ice cream.
Didn't you
Who
say
doesn't?
You were getting a little tummy on you earlier this summer because of ice cream
every
night?
Well, it's funny. Since I stopped drinking, I lost weight.
Yeah.
But now what I do...
Eat ice cream.
...is I'll sit on the couch watching the Cubs game eating damn ice cream. Oh. That's not helping. Ice cream or Raisinets?
Raisinets? That's an interesting choice. Yeah.
I'm a sucker for those, and they're so unhealthy, but...
they're not completely unhealthy.
It's kind
of raisins
the fruit
in there.
Group,
exactly.
Yeah.
They're just chocolate covered. That's how you get Dean to eat raisins. You put chocolate on them.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
But if it was a food, I could eat a good medium rare steak every day. I feel sorry for anybody that's allergic to red meat. But you still got chicken
and these meat allergies are the tick that people are getting. I heard of a young person here locally, a golf with his grandma, who had mentioned that he can't eat red meat right now because he was having some health issues because of a tick bite.
Man, just a good medium rare steak.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
There you go. Tammy goes with German chocolate cake. I haven't had that in a long time.
Are most of them desserts that people are pulling off here?
No, there's a couple. James and Katie both said pasta. Dave in Grand Rapids, Italian sausage lasagna.
Ooh,
Barb with strawberry cheesecake. Angie, I loved her answer, pizza and alcohol.
What kind of pizza?
She said pizza. And then Crash had the trifecta because he wanted to do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So he goes, Sandy's Donuts for breakfast, pizza for lunch, and lasagna for supper.
See, I haven't had a good lasagna in years.
I made you some a few years ago.
Time I had a good lasagna.
It's not lasagna season. That's like heavier. Give me another month or two, and I'll make you some lasagna.
Promise?
Yes. Okay. I promise you. I would do that for you.
Now, do you put ground up hamburger or sausage in it?
I use burger in mine, ground beef.
Do you?
Yep.
Have you tried it with sausage?
That would be delicious.
It's pretty damn good.
I've told this to Jason, our listeners, too. I'm really picky about sausage. So there's some sausages I don't like at all. I don't like the flavor profile. Some I do like, some I don't. So, no, I wouldn't put sausage. I'm ground beef. And I also use cottage cheese where people use
ricotta.
Yeah. Okay. I've never made it that way. I think that's drier. That one that we...
Do you put mozzarella on the top?
And in the middle.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
And in the base. It's got lots of mozzarella
that
in it.
That you have to have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you didn't complain about my lasagna.
Because you're a good cook.
Thank you, Dean.
And, you know better that if somebody's bringing in free food, you don't complain.
Yeah. You are a smart man, Wysocki.
Some days.
You both are. Most days. Once in a while, you knuckleheads.
Right.
6:10, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY radio. Radio Sports. 6:14, Big Game, James McCarty. has your WDAY Radio Sports. Good morning to you, Jimmy.
Good morning. The Minnesota Lynx, fresh off the All-Star break, returned to the hardwood at the Target Center last night. They would edge out the Toronto Tempo 100-93. They were propelled by a 28-15 second quarter run. Olivia Miles, the rookie, 24 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds in the victory. Kayla McBride would add 18 points, 4 assists, and 3 steals, while Nafisa Collier tallied 15 points in that victory. The Lynx improved to 23-6. They are now on an 8-game winning streak, and they actually head to Toronto to battle the Tempo for the second time in 3 nights. That will be on Thursday night at 6 o'clock on Victory Plus Sports Network, Minnesota. For the Minnesota Twins, they would ground into 4 double plays in the first 5 innings. The Kansas City Royals would have their left fielder on the SportsCenter top 10 with the catch he had in the bottom of the ninth. But ultimately, runners on first and second, Royce Lewis would hit a 2-RBI walk-off triple off the right center field wall. The Twins take down the Royals 3-2 thanks to 10 strikeouts from Taj Bradley over 6 innings of work. Gave up 2 runs and a no decision. Cody Funderburk and Travis Adams would end up tossing a combined 2 scoreless innings. Jack Anderson then threw a scoreless ninth inning, earning his first big league win. As for Josh Bell, he drove in a run. Royce Lewis, that 2-RBI walk-off triple. The Twins are at 500 at 54-54. They continue this series with the Royals tonight at 6:40 on Twins TV. Joe Ryan on the mound from Minnesota and former Twins starter Randy Dobnak countering for Kansas City. For the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they would fall short in their series opener to the Lincoln Salt Dogs 5-3. Bryce Brassfield gave up 4 runs over 5 1/3 innings worth of work. He was tagged with the loss. Trip Clark, Brian Fuentes, Eden Byrne, all picking up an RBI in that loss. Redhawks are now 32-30 on the year. They continue that series at Newman Outdoor Field tonight against the Salt Dogs with a 7-0-2 first pitch. And tonight we'll have primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you up to speed in the local sports scene as we approach the month of August. There very well could be some hockey news in the docket. We also are approaching media days in the next couple of days for the Bison, Dragons, Cobbers, and football. And then, of course, volleyball's around the corner, too. So we've got some good stuff tonight.
All righty. It is 6:16, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Coming up 6:56 this morning, we're going to be showcasing this singer who actually died in her sleep after playing a sold-out show in London back in 1974. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. You guys might remember week and a half ago, we chatted with Shannon at 701 Boutique and Antiques in Hankinson, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 30 businesses. It's a one-of-a-kind specialty shop in Hankinson, more than 30 vendors under one roof. And they're going to be celebrating their one-year anniversary.
Nice.
Coming up. Yeah, and it's this Saturday, August 1st. Here you go. Backyard barbecue. 11 nice. A.m. until 1 p.m. Free mm-hmm. chicken dinner.
Yeah.
Birthday cupcakes.
Winner chicken dinner.
Yeah. Cupcakes.
Yeah.
Door prizes and music. All you got to do is show up.
What a great way to celebrate your one-year anniversary by, instead of, you know, doing anything kind of routine, maybe a sale or something like that, you're giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Show up. You can have a backyard barbecue, like you said, chicken dinner meal, and then birthday cupcakes. I mean, and then while you're there, go ahead and check out what they got in their store.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. 701 Boutique and Antiques. They're located at 107 Main Avenue South in Hankinson. You're talking antiques, vintage, mm-hmm. art, clothing, food.
Locally made products.
Beef, farm fresh eggs.
Yep.
She had given us a list of a lot of different stuff there.
Yeah, and it's always cool when we get places like this. I know there's a similar type of place in the mall, and you're able to kind of get everybody that makes these local products and give them the place to showcase their products. So not only is 701 Boutique and Antiques a unique place themselves in the business they're doing, they're helping other local businesses as well. So I think that's just a great way to help promote those producing stuff in our own neck of the woods here.
You bet.
The Grandest down in Hankinson.
So celebrate with them. Mm-hmm. Their one-year anniversary celebration, 701 Boutique and Antiques, this coming Saturday, 11 a.m., until 1 p.m., and you might be able to, it's not too early to start doing a little Christmas shopping or shopping for yourself.
Well, anytime you find something on sale that you know somebody might like, and it might be a good time to purchase it and, you know, hide it away for Christmas.
classic movie featuring this star, which is a favorite for many, many people. And he's going to be making the rounds in a couple of Minnesota cities later on this year. And we will talk about that straight ahead. 622, Monty and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Might recognize this song, Holiday Road. Christmas Vacation, it was featured in.
Vacation. Yep. European Vacation.
Yeah.
All the vacation movies.
See, he knows. Well, coming up later on this year, Chevy Chase will be in a couple of Minnesota towns as they are doing a viewing of Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing a screening and then also appearing for a conversation. And it's going to be in Mankato and Duluth. Might he come closer to our area? Perhaps.
Maybe.
But this is what I'm seeing so far. He'll be at Mankato Mayo Clinic Center Event Center on Friday, November 13th. 2 days later, he appears at the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center's Symphony Hall.
Cool.
His wife will be with him, and they'll be doing a Q&A, behind-the-scenes stories about the making of the movie. There's also VIP tickets that will include photo ops. So there's huge fans of those
movies. The only thing I wonder is that I thought that, like, when you look at Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, kind of that group of guys that were not necessarily in movies together. I mean, I think Bill Murray and Chevy Chase were both in Caddyshack. I thought I had heard over the years that Bill Murray is a lot more beloved than Chevy Chase. Like, Chevy Chase has had maybe some issues where he's been maybe short.
Not nice to fans.
Yeah. So I'm wondering how this will go, because it's just at least a rumor that I heard, so I don't know if it has any validity to it.
I think he'll be good at this because he's also kind of pitching a documentary. I'm Chevy Chase and you're not.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So
some of those type of documentaries like that, like one on Chevy Chase, I think I was catching a bit of one that they had on. I'm sure it's been out for a while, but there was one they were talking about Chris Farley from Saturday Night Live, and some of those Saturday Night Live kind of, that's where I kind of first came across them, you might say, before movies or TV shows or whatever. Some of those are really interesting because, I mean, didn't they have one recently, like on either Martin Short or Steve Martin, or maybe one on each of them? And they're really, really interesting because some of these guys are just absolutely just beloved by many people, and they're still out there doing stuff today. You know, I mean, Martin Short and, you know, Steve Martin are doing Only Murders in the Building, and they're doing TV commercials and stuff. And so they're still, you know, just as funny as they ever were.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And Chevy Chase is very funny. I have a feeling these events will sell out.
Yeah.
Like I said, Duluth and Mankato, and tickets are already going to be going on sale on Friday.
Oh, wow.
So if you are interested in that, you might want to do a quick Google search to get yourself some more details. Closer to home here, I see that West Nile virus has been detected in a mosquito pool in Wahpeton. They were supposed to spray last night, weather permitting, but just be aware. It's been so hot, you know.
If it weather permitting, I think the only thing
the winds have to be 10 miles an hour or less.
I was going
to
say that would be the only thing because it wouldn't be.
And if they didn't spray last night, which I'm not sure if they did, but if they, I'd imagine they probably did. But if not, they're going to do it today.
Fun.
So, and the routine too is like, if you, I don't know where, well, maybe. If you got some standing water, well, okay, so a kid's pool or whatever.
Who in the world's got standing water, Bonnie?
That's what I was trying to work through my mind. But my granddaughter, for instance, she has a water table, right, that she plays in. And sometimes you get kiddie pools, or sometimes there's a, you know, tire, or you've got for your pets or whatever, or livestock. You know, they always say to try to remove standing water or change out that water so the mosquitoes don't have a chance to lay their eggs.
You don't want that. And like I said, for the last couple of weeks, it's been a little bit tough to have standing water, but it would be.
But I think
kiddie
about
pools,
that,
water tables, you know.
Every time I go to my granddaughter's, and I told them, it's like, this water in here is ratty. You better dump it before you get mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And they did. They actually listened because I was there yesterday, and it was dumped out.
I remember my girls had one of those type of tables, and it had little drains. You could just drain it out. Because the other half of it, I think it had sand or something in it.
Yeah, you can turn. The new ones, it's like sand and water tables.
Exactly.
You can do whatever. This one is kind of interesting. I saw our partners over at Valley News Live yesterday had more than 30 Minnesota community water systems were victims of cyber attacks.
Really?
I don't see anything close to us. It looks like down Twin Cities metro area, Plymouth, South St. Paul, Maple Plain, Bram, isn't that where James is from?
Yeah.
Yeah, down there.
What was the outcome of these cyber attacks? Was it like getting information on your billing, or was it something that actually affected the water?
Well, okay, so in Plymouth, the attack affected communications at two water towers and multiple lift stations. Mm. Water levels and water quality crews say they were unaffected. Crews continued operating through manual procedures. South St. Paul said it affected their automated controls. Mm. Contingency procedures were immediately implemented. So they must have had alarms that went off to notify them.
Yeah, hopefully.
In Maple Plain, the city convened an emergency council meeting. The mayor declared a local state of emergency following the attack, gave the city additional flexibility to coordinate resources and pursue state and federal support. They say the drinking water remains safe.
Mm-hmm.
Bram, utility and public work staff identified the issue promptly. Like I said, there must have been alarms that went off, and they're like, what the heck's going on? But more than 30 communities, that's something you worry about,
yeah,
right?
I mean, today's day and age, I think that's one of the bigger things that we worry about, as cyber attacks from a foreign entity, because you know, you see the movies sometimes and they do the whole thing about the power grid. And if they're able to hack into our power grid and turn it off, all of a sudden we're back to the dark ages, you might say, that we don't have access to anything because the power is turned off. So you worry about things. Everything gets so automated. Everything gets so controlled by apps and programs and stuff like that. So if that gets hacked, who knows what can happen to it if someone else takes control over it? Because just think about it. I mean, just a simple, you know, kind of example would be like if someone, you know, this is physical, but it's not hacked. But if someone had control of our light switch in here and the remotes to the TVs, well, they're turning our TVs on and off and the lights on and off. And that's annoying and distracting us from doing our job here on the radio. So, you know, you never know what someone could do if they get control of a certain type of system, well, whether it's power or water.
Water, you know, that affects, you know, everybody's health and livelihood. They say the water systems are safe. And the state of Minnesota is working with multiple agencies, including the Pollution Control Agency, cybersecurity, infrastructure security, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the FBI is involved in this. We were still over in the other building, so I want to say about 3-4 years ago, there was a bunch of attacks on water towers, and they were basically terrorists, I'd call them, cybersecurity terrorists. They were holding, like, entities, cities and counties hostage. I don't know if we had anything here, but I know Florida was particularly hit. There might have been stuff in California. It was elsewhere across the nation, but still, when stuff like that happens, and then they were demanding ransom for it.
Yeah, and I think sometimes these cyber attacks, they may... And sometimes you're worried that maybe it's just a spam email that they kind of get into your email system and make you think that something's going to happen. They threaten stuff. But you don't want to take any chance with stuff like water, because how many times have we talked about, like, in the scenario where you're stranded on a desert island and with no food and no water, you can last longer with no food than you can without water, you know? And so a water system, you know, cyber attack, that is more concerning because so many people need water. I mean, which we're talking about today, another heat index day where you have to worry about hydrating if you're out and about. So
And these are people who know too much, and they've done dangerous things with it, right? They called it a coordinated cyber attack, targeted operational technology at these 30-plus community water systems. Happened over the weekend in Bram. It shut down their operating controls, took their well and water treatment plant offline.
Oh, no.
So the city had to rely on water held in their water tower. So hopefully they figure out who did this and we don't have more of this happening elsewhere. It is 6:30. 6:32, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with a check on our hot, steamy forecast.
Yeah, it's another hot one out there today. We're looking at temperatures currently in the low 70s, a little bit sticky out there with light winds. And winds aren't going to be overly strong today, only out of the south at 5 to 15. And we'll make it up about 97. There is a heat advisory up and down the valley from Grand Forks, basically the Canadian border down to Fargo. So keep that in mind if you're out and about today, another hot one. Then partly cloudy, 70 tonight. Tomorrow, clouds will thicken up, and we'll see showers and thunderstorms come in the afternoon. Those will last through the evening hours, probably out of here by midnight, with highs in the mid-80s. And then we'll stay in the mid to upper 80s Friday and Saturday. We'll heat it up into the 90s Sunday and Monday. A chance for storms Monday night into Tuesday on a cold front. And then low 80s with morning lows in the 50s for Tuesday and Wednesday of next week.
Change.
Yeah, and now I was looking at and all of our long range models. Now it'll be interesting to see if this changes, because yesterday they were building the heat back in for WeFest. Now both our American and our European models are keeping it cooler through WeFest now, with a nice Canadian air mass moving in, which means basically low 80s and morning lows in the upper 50s.
We'll see. If I was going, I would love that.
That's what I would want. That's perfect. Right. I don't think you want mid and upper 90s during WeFest. They've had that before.
But good sleeping weather or passing out weather.
One or the other. Yeah, exactly. Right now, and again, this could flip-flop back. I'm not totally convinced that this Canadian air mass is going to hold tight, but that's the way it looks right now, so that's good news. Now, rainfall totals for Thursday afternoon into Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. So here's what our models are predicting. Okay. Our European model, about 4 to 5 tenths of an inch, so figure a half inch. Our UK model, that's from overseas, from, let's see, inch to an inch and a quarter.
Oh.
Our Canadian model, only about a quarter to a half inch. Mm-hmm. Our German model, about a half inch to three quarters. Our American model, right around 4 to 5 tenths. Our short range models are ranging generally about a half inch to an inch.
So what do you do with that?
I am going, models will over forecast due to thunderstorms.
Okay.
If we get caught under a couple of these thunderstorm complexes, I can see us getting 3/4 of an inch to an inch. But I'm going to go right around a half inch.
Half inch, you're thinking?
I think a half inch is pretty much safe for the FM area. But again, we get caught under a couple thunderstorm complexes, and we could push that up to an inch. One thing all models are in agreement with is just to our south, and I'm talking like 50 miles. So if this thing shifts north a little bit, we could get in on the heavier precip. But 50 miles to our south, we're looking at an inch to an inch and a half. So the far southern valley into southern lakes country, and then down into South Dakota, eastern South Dakota is going to get hit with about an inch to an inch and a half.
Okay.
Again, let's try and push that a little bit further north.
That would be nice. Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to complain. Even a half inch, I mean, it's better than the nothing that we've had
exactly.
lately.
Oh, exactly. Know? So we were talking about 90-degree days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So far, during the month of July, we've had 13 days of 90 or above. The max number was 22 back in 1936. Now, July of 88 and July of 89 both had 14 days.
Mm.
July of 2012 had 13. So Fargo will probably end up going down into third place for the most 90-degree days.
Been a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been a lot. And let's see, what else do we have here? Yeah, that about sums it up. I thought it was 2022. Remember, we were talking about that, but 2022 wasn't overly hot.
Well, it was just that we hit 100 degrees, yeah, which was the first time since 2022.
Right. But yeah, other than that, July 2022 wasn't overly hot. It was more so in the late 80s, 88 and 89, and 2012.
Okay, you need to pass on those notes. I started right, and then I gave up on you. There was too many facts in there.
Here, hold on.
You're just going to give it to
I'll
me?
I'll just give you the sheet. There you go.
You're the best. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
All right. 6:37, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. The Window and Door Store sponsors our phone lines. They specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors. The WDStore.com, 701-293-9000. Keep that number handy. You're going to need it in the 7 o'clock hour if you want to get yourself qualified for the ultimate gridiron getaway in Vegas. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, time for a check on our WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The Minnesota Vikings, as we officially hit training camp this week, the full veterans will be reporting in the middle of the weekend here, but a ton of moves being made with the purple over the last 24 or so hours. First and foremost, Adrian Peterson is to be enshrined in the Vikings Ring of Honor this upcoming season. He'll become the 29th member in the Vikings Ring of Honor. He is the all-time franchise leader in career carries and career rushing yards and also rushing touchdowns. After spending a decade with the Vikings, 93 rushing touchdowns, just shy of 12,000 yards rushing, and over 4,000 carries as well in the Vikings purple during his tenure with Minnesota. He will be enshrined into the Ring of Honor prior to the Vikings' Monday night football matchup against the Buffalo Bills on November 9th. As for the team's depth in the back end, they've added and signed a three-time Pro Bowl, who was at one time a safety, Jamal Adams. He is now being signed on as a hybrid linebacker by the Vikings, and a lot of that has to do with the Brian Flores-style defense. And for example, Josh Metellus, who was drafted as and is still listed as a safety. He plays outside linebacker, cornerback, edge rusher. He does a little bit of everything, and I think that's the goal as long as health is on the side of Jamal Adams, who has dealt with injuries really since that 2020 season over the last 6 or so years, but he did play in all 17 games for the Raiders last season. A three-time Pro Bowler, a once first-team All-Pro who has 36 career pass breakups, almost 550 career tackles, will add much-needed depth onto the back end of the Vikings defense, especially with the question marks surrounding the if Harrison Smith will or will not return this upcoming season after trying to regroup that contract and ultimately releasing him this offseason, trying to bring him back for another season. We'll see if it happens or not. Additionally, two-time Pro Bowl right tackle Brian O'Neill, who is at the time entering his final year of his contract this season, well, he has now come to terms with the Vikings on a four-year extension worth $96 million. So he will turn 31 in the middle of September. He is now locked up in the Vikings' purple jerseys through the 2030 season, and he has missed 9 total games in his NFL career since being drafted back in 2018, but he has really solidified the right side of the offensive line over the last 7, almost 8 seasons now at this point. For the Twins, they walked off the Kansas City Royals 3-2 in their series opener on Tuesday night. It was a 2-RBI triple for Royce Lewis that got the Twins over the hump. Taj Bradley struck out 10 batters over 6 innings, gave up 2 runs and no decision, and Jack Anderson would get his first big league win tossing a scoreless 9th inning. The Twins and Royals continue their series at 6:40 tonight on Twins TV. Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota, former Twins starter Randy Dobnak will counter for KC. And the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks falling in their series opener to the Lincoln Salt Dogs 5-3 last night. Tripp Clark, Brian Fuentes, Aiden Byrne all driving in a run, but the Redhawks dropped to 32-30. They continue that series with a 7:02 first pitch from Newman Outdoor Field tonight against the Salt Dogs. And last thing a note in sports this hour, the Minnesota Lynx, fresh off the All-Star break, defeat the Toronto Tempo 193 last night. They now are riding an 8-game winning streak. They're 23-6 on the year, and they will play the Tempo again on Thursday evening, but this time they're heading north of the border to Toronto, and that'll be an early evening bout between the Lynx and Tempo with Nafisa Collier and the full complement of roster players back in the lineup for Minnesota as they try and extend that winning streak to a game shy of double digits.
646, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Our email brought to you by Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo-Moorhead. Contact Reed and his team today at glassdoctorauto.com because nobody wants to see your crack. You can always send us a message, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. I know Bridget yesterday told us she was going to be at West Acres Mall. Vitalant is holding a blood drive. That is continuing today, the Save Our Summer Blood Drive. Very critically low, especially type O. It sounds like yesterday they had 34 units of blood that were collected.
Okay.
Vitalant is hoping for 70 donors today and another 70 tomorrow to hit their goal. So if you are able to, go to vitalant.org, download their app. You get a $15 gift card of your choice, too, if you donate here. Yeah,
oh, there you go.
There's a code that you can use, too. But otherwise, if you want more information, stop out at West Acres Mall. They're in the food court from 11:30 to 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and donating blood is always a great thing. It's always needed.
You never know when you or a family member will need it,
And I'm sure that there was probably some used on me at one point in time as well. So get out there and donate if you can. It's not that bad. It takes a short amount of time, especially if you're just donating blood. It's not a plasma or platelets thing. It takes, 15, 20 minutes, something like that, and then hopefully you're rewarded with juice and cookies.
There you go. It was on this date in entertainment history. This film soundtrack went to number 1 on the U.S. album charts. It's one of the best-selling albums of all time. Find out what it is. Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to do that right around 6:56. It's 6:48. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this day in 1967. This famous group started a 3-week number one run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with their first U.S. number one. We'll talk about that and so much more coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
7:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with our forecast. I'm guessing there's still smoke out there.
Yeah, a little. Yeah. You can tell with the sunrise. Yeah, still that upper-level smoke. It does make for a beautiful... Ooh, somebody won the... I didn't check my ticket.
Powerball?
I better go check it.
It wasn't you.
If I'm not here... For the next weather hit, you'll know.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, I got sidetracked, squirrel. We're looking at a little bit of upper-level smoke out there and temperatures in the low 70s. We'll warm it up today. We got a heat advisory in effect for the FM area northward into the Northern Valley. It does not include Lakes Country. It doesn't mean you're not going to be hot, too. But the hottest weather up and down the valley with highs around 97 and heat index readings about 100 to 105. South winds not adding much help, about 5 to 15. Partly cloudy, 70 tonight, and then increasing clouds on your Thursday. And we're looking at temperatures right around 86. We'll see those storms come in the afternoon and evening. And we're looking at about a half inch or so here in the FM area with heavier amounts to our south. Far Southern Valley, Lakes Country into South Dakota, an inch and a half can't be ruled out. Could some of those heavier ones squeak north? Possibly. So let's fingers crossed. Let's hope so that this system pulls a little further north and gives us some of the heavier rainfall. And then mid to upper 80s Friday, Saturday, back in the 90s Sunday and Monday. And then all indications are a nice Canadian air mass moves in later next week with temps in the 80s, morning lows in the 50s.
Oh, wow.
So let's hope that holds through. Yesterday, a couple of our models were blasting the heat back in for WeFest weekend. Now that's keeping it kind of cooler. So, That's next week, but short term, though, it looks like we're finally going to get some rain. And again, you know, thunderstorms are hit and miss. You get caught under a couple of these, and you could easily pick up a half inch to an inch, while your neighbors 20 miles up the road really don't see much at all. So that's kind of how it's going to be. But I think in general, we're probably looking at about a half inch of rain here in the FM area.
All right. Thank you, Dino. Well, this has been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation.
And just stay at work. You didn't win. It was the Mega Millions, and the ticket was sold in Florida, Wysocki, and you haven't been to Florida lately. Yeah, somebody won an $800 million Mega Millions
I hope they
jackpot.
Can make ends meet after that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Powerball, I guess, is at $663
yes.
million. So
yeah, there's a lot of money out there.
Mm-hmm. It is 7:05, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios, the Window and Door Store, sponsors our phone lines. They specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors. The WDStore.com, 701-293-9000. Looking for caller 7 right now. And congratulations to Tyler. He's the latest qualifier for the Ultimate Gridiron Getaway in Vegas. Be listening to the Coffee Club in the 10 o'clock hour for your next opportunity. 7:10, Big Game James McCarty's here now with your WDAY Radio Sports.
The Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks began their homestand at Newman Outdoor Field last night with a loss to the Lincoln Salt Dogs, falling short 5-3. Bryce Brassfield gave up four of those runs over 5 1/3 innings worth of work. He was tagged with the loss in the end. Trip Clark, Brian Fuentes, Aiden Byrne all picking up an RBI. The Redhawks dropping to 32-30 on the season. They will continue that series tonight at Newman Outdoor Field at 7:02. For the Minnesota Twins, they would ground into four double plays in the first five innings. The Kansas City Royals left fielder would end up on the SportsCenter top 10 for a diving catch in the ninth inning. But ultimately, Royce Lewis, a former first overall pick for the Twins, turned minor leaguer this season with a demotion. Now back in the big leagues, well, he just hit a walk-off 2-RBI triple off the top of the right center field wall last night to give the Twins a 3-2 victory, as Lewis has been playing better baseball as of late, spending a lot of time at first base as well during his return to the lineup. The Twins improved to 54-54 on the year. They continue that series with the Royals tonight at 6:40. Coverage available on Twins TV. Joe Ryan on the mound from Minnesota, former Twins starter Randy Dobnik countering for Kansas City. The Minnesota Lynx would defeat the Toronto Tempo 100-93 in their return to the court off the All-Star break. Minnesota was propelled in that victory by a big second quarter where they went on a 28-15 run. The rookie Olivia Miles had 24 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds in the victory. Kayla McBride would tally 18 points, 4 assists, and 3 steals, followed up by Nafisa Collier's 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. in that victory. That rose Minnesota to 23-6 on the season. They're now running an 8-game winning streak, best record in the league, and the longest winning streak in the league as well. They will actually battle the tempo again on Thursday night, but this time they're heading to Toronto. And for the Minnesota Vikings, lots of things happening over the last 24 hours. First and foremost, Adrian Peterson, they have a date where he will be enshrined into the Vikings' Ring of Honor. It will be prior to the Vikings' Monday Night Football matchup against the Buffalo Bills, which will take place on Monday, November 9th. And, of course, Adrian Peterson is the franchise's all-time leading rusher and rushing touchdowns holder as well. Peterson will become the 29th member to be enshrined into Vikings history in the Ring of Honor. And Minnesota Vikings current right tackle Brian O'Neill, who was set to enter his final year of his contract, well, yesterday afternoon, they decided to add four more years onto it as he came to terms with the franchise on a four-year extension worth up to $96 million, keeping O'Neill in the purple through the 2030 season. O'Neill will turn 31 on September 15th and played in the majority of games in his career since being drafted way back in 2018, where he actually started in 11 games. He has missed about 10 games in total in his NFL career due to injury over those eight seasons to this point. And also for the University of Minnesota, the Golden Gophers men's basketball, they gave a contract extension and salary bump to head coach Nico Medved after a promising opening season at his alma mater. The University Board of Regents would approve a contract amendment this past week in its regular monthly meeting, giving Medved a $100,000 pay bump on top of the $100,000 annual increase on his initial six-year deal. He's now signed through the 2031-32 season. He will make $3.2 million this upcoming season, which ranks actually 17th out of 18 coaches in the Big Ten, according to university documents. So the Big Ten, if you know basketball X's and O's, it's a good place to be a coach. The Gophers were 15-18 last season. They went 8-12 in Big Ten play. That was Medved's first season. And, of course, it was a lineup that was just decimated due to injuries. He is entering his 14th year as a head coach, including stops at Drake, Furman, and then seven seasons at Colorado State prior to returning to the Golden Gophers.
This kind of like old school ding dong ditch, but it's the kick door kick challenge. It's been on TikTok.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner even put out a statement telling, you know, making residents aware that this is going on. It sounds like recently there was an incident in Horace. I know we've had couple in Moorhead, I think Fargo, yeah. Too, where, yeah, it's like ding-dong ditch, but instead of just ringing the doorbell and running away, they're kicking in doors.
Yeah, they kick it, and then, you know, they kick it a couple times or whatever, then they run away. So, I mean, when you have a big thud at the door like that, I mean, wasn't that the story that the kids down in Texas or someplace, somebody got shot because they did it to the wrong door, and the person obviously has a firearm, and they shot through the door or something, thinking that they were, you know, going to be, you know, not invaded is not the right word, but they were going to have people just running into their home or whatever.
Well, that's the fear. What could potentially happen if somebody comes after, you know, you mm-hmm. do this and the homeowner runs out with a gun or a baseball bat or something like that. Unbelievable. Just another thing that we have to talk to our kids about.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes it seems that especially when kids are at a certain age, it seems like they lack common sense and they just go with whatever trend they see on social media. And it's frustrating, you know, because it's just like, this should be common sense. You shouldn't be walking up to a random person's door and doing this. You know what I mean?
Yep. The sheriff's office, his press release said in some parts of the country, homeowners mistakenly believe the incidents were actual burglaries, attempted robberies, or attempted break-ins. It's resulted in homeowners using force, sometimes causing injuries or even death to those participating. And like you said, we have had a number of incidents here. He mentions the one in Horace, but I know Moorhead's had one or two based on what I've seen in social media groups, and I think Fargo as well.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about how many incidents we've had, but it's been a problem nationwide. And I don't quite understand. I mean, I understand viral trends on social media because we've seen those. You know, there is a there's a one that I've been seeing lately where it's the names that pop in your head, you know, like it's like if someone introduces himself or says their name at an appointment, it's like, it's me, Jessica. And then there's a clip of Rob Schneider saying his line from when he was in a movie and he said that. And then there's 22 Jump Street, and Channing Tatum says, "My name is Jeff," and you know they do those, and I mean those make sense because those are harmless. People are making videos that copy this general premise, but when kids start copying something that can be dangerous, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Remember, like 4 years ago, they were ripping toilets and faucets off the walls in schools. You remember that?
Yeah,
and that was even happening here locally.
Yeah, and it's just like, why would you do that? Think of the damage you're doing, and then you're going to be responsible for paying it because they're going to find out who did it. I mean, that's just a matter of time. So
yeah, well, it was a door kick one. I mean,
yeah, that's just dumb.
Could turn deadly. So just another thing to talk to your kids about.
Yeah.
Educate them that, you know, just because you're seeing stuff on social media, don't mimic it and do it because there could be some real dangerous consequences.
Definitely
here.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. 718, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo-Moorhead sponsors our inbox. Contact Reed and his team today at glassdoctorauto.com. They are your locally owned windshield repair shop. You can always message us, studio at WDAYradionow.com. Upgrading your cab experience, that's something WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will cover next.
7:21, we head out to the farm to talk with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. Good morning, Bridget.
All right, well, hitting the road shortly, because for many of you, I will see you in Baltic, South Dakota tomorrow.
Oh, that's this week. Yeah. I forgot about that. Is that tomorrow and Friday or just tomorrow?
Just tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll head down today in preparation of, you know, some setup and being prepared. Tomorrow, I'll be able to call in, probably like pulling into the parking lot, because I'm not kidding you. If you are not in line to get in the gates at 6:30 in the morning, you're going to be there.
You're going to be waiting a while.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that last year or the year before.
So we'll go right from there. I have three panels to moderate throughout the day.
Okay.
We'll be doing weather and ag in focus from there today and tomorrow. Lots going on, lots of people to talk to. Today for weather and ag in focus, I have the great pleasure of Greg Steeman, who is a local state legislator and former ag banker in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to Greg. Tomorrow, while I am in South Dakota, I will have Mrs. Shark Farmer, Emily Sharkey from Shark Farmer podcast and radio joining me. And then also Marcel Kringa. He is the CEO and founder of BrandVolt, formerly Bushel Plus. We're going to talk about their innovations on combining, especially as we get so close to our combining season.
Did you look at the forecast for Baltic, South Dakota?
Yeah.
It's going to be much cooler.
Oh.
Chance of showers and thunder showers, 76 tomorrow and 78 on Friday, better than previous years.
I was hoping for like 85. So if we're actually 76, hold on, I got to get a jacket.
Oh,
your umbrella.
Your poor thing. You're going to have a jacket because it's going to be chilly there. That's so nice. Whatever.
How unfortunate.
Yeah. When it comes to these panels that you are moderating, then what are the general topics of these three panels? Are they all similar? Are they all varying? Are you doing a mental health one at all? Or what are you doing down there?
They are actually quite different, and I'm very much looking forward to the fun of each one of them. So the panels that I was asked to do, one of them is called from the Trading the Board Room for the Barnyard, because we have several folks who have gone from working corporately to taking up farming full time. And what's that transition like? There's more and more folks that are going to do it. Same farm, different perspectives. These are farmers who are anywhere from sixth to eighth generation. They're all probably sub 30 years old.
Wow.
How is that transition going, working with your parents, grandparents, and more? And the last one I will be a part of is called Turning Grass to Ribeye. And we're going to talk with some beef producers about what
like
they're
that.
Doing.
It's
days.
What's for dinner.
You bet it is, and I'm looking forward to it, too.
Cool.
Now, there is a farm family down in Iowa who's got some teenage boys who have been a part of the operation for a while. And the boys said, you know, we drive older equipment, and these radios are terrible. So they wanted a fix. They built it. And so now they have put together retro kits for older machines, specifically John Deere, the tractors, the 7000 to the 730, the 8000 to the 830, the 9000 to the 930. They now give you a dedicated screen so you can wirelessly connect your phone for hands-free calling as well as Bluetooth. I think the hands-free calling with better sound is so much improved over yelling at each other on the CB or hand signals that can deem the inappropriate side
yes.
of things. Then additionally, it integrates two camera feeds. So you can see what's going on in the grain cart if you're pulling the grain cart you know, trying to load off combine and so much more. So if folks are interested in these, it's the T.L. Herbert family. It's called the Cab Radio Upgrade Kit. I can always give you a link to that if you want to send me emails. I'll help you connect with them so that you too can be a part of upgrading with your experience in the cab. It's a far great improvement over the AM/FM radios we had in the tractors I was usually in, if it had a cab, and there was a lot of yelling. Mm-hmm. So there's a young, well, she was a young woman in 1982. She was a student at UND, Kathy Egan. Her dad, Ted, farmed near the Walhalla area. But as she said, the tsunami of change that happened when his dad was climbing up the rung of a ladder, slipped and fell to their to a spinning PTO shaft. Ooh. It was unguarded. It was a tsunami of trauma. Her dad spent a year in rehab before he could come back to the farm. It was in harvest, so they were trying to harvest sugar beets. They were trying to take care of everything else, and so many other people had to step in and be a part of this, including family members. And Kathy never forgot that. So she has created a documentary called Listen Up and Stay Safe, and she presents it to farm groups, businesses, co-ops, anyone who wants to listen and be reminded of the safety we need to take every single day. Kathy's going to join us on Weather and Ag in Focus coming up in August to talk about the accident, the documentary that she's put together, and so much more. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a stark reminder, and we talked about this yesterday when it came to the Save Our Summer Blood Drive up at West Acres Mall. There is not only an increase in potential car accidents, because many of us are on the road in the summer, but the farm accidents. And we want people to be safe. These things happen. Let's give ourselves reminders to slow down and be careful whenever we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Yes.
Lastly, John Deere has come to a settlement with the Federal Trade Commission for the right to repair lawsuit. John Deere will be required to provide farmers and independent retailers with resources that are given to dealers on fair and reasonable terms. That includes the reading, clearing, and resetting of electronic fault codes, reprogramming of electrical components, being able to start machines following emission-related shutdowns, and so many other technical manuals, et cetera, et cetera. John Deere must also make any future repair resources available to farmers and independent providers once they are rolled out to more than 50% of the authorized dealer network in the U.S. I think there's two sides to this. One, for farmers who want to be able to work on something that is mechanically a problem. It broke. I got to weld it. I got to fix it. I want to be able to do that without destroying my warranty and or having to wait for a technician, whatever the case might be. I also realize that some of those software situations get very complicated. And it would probably be a better situation where a technician took care of it rather than getting in and messing with it on your own. But in the economic times that we have, everybody's looking to make sure that they save some dollars. And one of the ways to do that is working on your own equipment. So this comes at the right time. I think that there'll be folks that take advantage of it. John Deere, you know, doesn't always, and like any company, right, whether it's a car manufacturer or anybody else, doesn't want to give away trade secrets. But in this situation, FTC said, hey, you're going to have to share more information with those who want to do their own work. And that's simply how it's going to have to go. Mm-hmm. That's a very basic breakdown of the whole situation and mm-hmm. lawsuit. But for many, I think this provides them a little bit of relief, as we mentioned. But if you have questions about any of these stories, so much more, and even if you have questions in regards to, should I head to Baltic for field day? Well, I'm not going to turn you down. You'd be more than welcome. So please do send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com, and look forward to getting a chance to visit with folks tomorrow and also just throughout the week. And appreciate all the listeners out there.
Absolutely. All right. Bridget, you have a great day.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins & Kronk, is going to be joining us coming up right after the 3-degree guarantee, about 747, 750, with a market update and insight. He joins us right here on Bonnie and Friends each and every Wednesday, and it's always fun to pick his brain and see how the markets are doing mm-hmm. and what they're reacting to, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. It is 7:30, hot. And maybe some rain in the forecast. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki in shortly with details. 7:31, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with our hot forecast, but looking forward to maybe some rain over the region tomorrow.
Yes, now it's not a drought buster by any means, but there will be some areas to our south in the far southern valley into northeastern South Dakota around Sisseton and over into Lakes Country around Fergus that do pick up over an inch of rain out of this. So that good news for areas to our south, the FM area, we're going to be right on the northern end of this system. So let's hope that this pulls a little further north than expected, which would put us in a little more beneficial rains here in the FM area. But more on that in a bit. Today, we do have a heat advisory in effect up and down the valley with temperatures reaching about 97 and heat index readings about 100 to 105 under sunny to partly cloudy skies. South winds, not much help, about 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 70. And then tomorrow, increasing clouds. We'll see some showers and thunderstorms come in towards the afternoon. So the morning will be dry, but the afternoon we'll see scattered storms. Those will last through the evening hours. Highs tomorrow about 86, and then about a half inch or so here in the FM area. And again, there might be some areas 20 miles down the road that get caught under a thunderstorm, pick up close to an inch, while areas 20 miles outside of that pick up a quarter to a half inch. So it's all going to depend on how these thunderstorms set up, which is typical for this time of the year. And then mid to upper 80s Friday and Saturday, back in the 90s Sunday and Monday. And then all indications are next week, Tuesday onward, a nice refreshing Canadian air mass comes in with highs returning back closer to normal in the lower 80s with morning lows in the 50s. Mm. That'll be a nice little break as we head into next week. So we'll keep an eye on this this rain system coming in for Thursday late in the Thursday afternoon and a Thursday evening. So the morning hours tomorrow will be dry, but if you have tea time in the afternoon or evening, it might be a little bit on the wet side.
All righty. 7:34, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. The Window and Door Store sponsors our phone lines. They specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors, the WDStore.com. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. Dean's back with your three-degree guarantee. And then Brian Cronk, managing partner of Collins & Cronk, joins us with a market update and insight. 7:37, time for a check on our WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The Minnesota Twins walking off of Kansas City Royals 3-2 in their series opener Tuesday night. Taj Bradley, he had a no decision. He struck out 10 batters over six innings. And Jack Anderson threw a scoreless ninth, getting his first career big league win. Josh Bell drove in a run while Royce Lewis hit the walk-off 2-RBI triple in the ninth inning. The Twins evidently are going to be buyers, not sellers of the deadline. They announced Jeremy Zoll, the general manager of the Twins, saying Byron Buxton, Joe Ryan, they are not on the block. They will not be traded by Monday's trade deadline in the evening hours. So the Twins at 54-54, that means the only option is to buy. They'll continue that series with the Royals at 6:40 tonight on Twins TV. Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota. Former Twins starter Randy Dobnak will counter for Kansas City. As for the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they're falling short. Well, they did fall short in their series opener to the Lincoln Salt Dogs, 5-3 last night. They would end up having a handful of pitchers, three pitchers, throw multiple innings apiece in that loss. The Redhawks are 32-30. They continue that series at 7:02 tonight at Newman Outdoor Field. The Minnesota Lynx would have a 28-15 second quarter run propel them to a 100-93 victory over the Toronto Tempo at the Target Center last night, fresh off their all-star break. They would end up with 24 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds from the rookie Olivia Miles. Kayla McBride would tally 18 points, and Nafisa Collier would have 15 of her own. Natasha Howard chipped in 13 points and 6 rebounds. The Lynx are a league best 23-6 on the year. They're riding an 8-game winning streak, and they now head north of the border to Toronto to battle the Tempo for the second time in 3 nights. That'll be on Thursday evening. And for the Minnesota Vikings, one of their new assistant coaches and defensive backs coach, Gerald Alexander, he has been suspended for 3 weeks without pay following a drunken driving incident from earlier this year. The Vikings making the announcement at the beginning of training camp yesterday afternoon that the suspension began Friday will be effective until August 13th, 2 days before the first preseason game at the New York Giants. And in a release, Alexander said that he takes full responsibility for the situation he put himself in, apologizes for not meeting the mark, and according to Hennepin County court records, He pled guilty on July 16th to a gross misdemeanor charge of third-degree driving while impaired for and refusal to submit to a chemical test. Fourth-degree driving while impaired charge was dismissed. He sentenced to 48 hours of community service, placed on 2 years of unsupervised probation, and was fined $603. This happened in Edina, a suburb of Minneapolis, around 4 in the morning on April 26th when the vehicle was stopped in the middle of an intersection with the driver unresponsive at the time. So, thankfully, nobody harmed in this, and hopefully a big learning opportunity for him. He is now entering his 10th year of coaching in the NFL. He was a defensive backs coach last season for the Pittsburgh Steelers before coming to Minnesota, and he'll be underneath current head coach or current defensive coordinator Brian Flores. And so they had spent some time together when he was in Miami, actually, a handful of seasons ago. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
741 Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the CorWin Subaru Studios. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has your three-degree guarantee coming up next. Then Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us with a market update and insight.
744, time for your three-degree guarantee. It is brought to you by Labor Masters. Get the quality, reliable help you need today with Labor Masters. Do you know yesterday you predicted a high of 93? How did you do?
We hit 91 yesterday.
All right.
Yep. Today we're going to go 97. That might be pushing it a bit, but I'm going to stick with it.
I certainly hope you're way off on that today.
Right? Yeah. So it's going to be another hot one. Heat advisory in effect from Fargo northward up and down the valley there with, again, 97. Heat index readings about 100 to 105 today. Ooh. And south winds 5 to 15. Down to 70 tonight. And then showers and thunderstorms. Hey, it's been a while since we've been able to say that.
Yeah.
Showers and thunderstorms come into the area tomorrow afternoon through tomorrow evening with highs tomorrow in the mid-80s. So again, today's three-degree guarantee, 97.
All right. Thank you, Dino. That is brought to you by Labor Masters. Get the quality, reliable help you need today with Labor Masters.
745, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the CorWin Subaru Studios. Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us next with a market update and insight. 746, Brian Kronk, Managing Partner of Collins & Kronk, joins us in studio right around this time each and every Wednesday. He's here with us this morning. Good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask about this because I saw stocks rose yesterday. One of the things that was mentioned after Coca-Cola reported stronger profits among other companies, but I think there was something about Pepsi had stronger profits maybe a couple weeks back too. I was wondering maybe if you think like the World Cup had any positive influence here on our markets.
Ooh, you know, I bet it did, especially from a consumer spending standpoint. Mm-hmm. You think about all the money that those people had in their pockets. They came over here and they bought ranch dressing and Coca-Cola and they left with empty pockets. So
yeah.
I think that stuff definitely helps. I did hear some number, and it was an astronomical number in the billions of dollars that, you know, was spent by the people visiting from the World Cup. And that helps all of those consumer companies. And really, like you say, the market was up yesterday. The consumer companies were up yesterday. The banks were up yesterday. Some of those industrials were. But there was a whole lot of stocks that have been going down, just like we talked about last week. The tech names, the AI names, everything that's been the, this is what you should own for the last couple of years. That stuff is just falling. It's like an elevator that had its cables cut, and it's going lower and lower and lower. And this is why we've been taking profits at Collins & Kronk. We've been talking about this. We've been selling and trimming for really weeks now, mm-hmm. and putting money into those other areas. And it's those other areas, the non-tech, the non-AI, that's working right now.
It seems as though the market in general, when you look at the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P, it seems like you said it's kind of flipping between different markets, but it seems kind of like we're sort of in a holding pattern, you might say. I mean, we had a couple, you know, back-to-back weeks that I believe the Dow was down. NASDAQ has kind of been struggling a little bit lately because, of course, they're more tech-heavy, et cetera.
Right.
But it seems as though overall, it doesn't seem like it's been dropping a huge amount, but it's just kind of just meandering there a little bit. So in that scenario, you talk about taking profits for your clients. Are there some stocks at this point in time that are good to buy now based on them dropping a bit? Because, I mean, you always see that. You see some stocks, you know, they rise real quickly. Sometimes they fall. I mean, are there some stocks out there that are probably a good idea to buy at this point in time? Or is it still kind of a wait-and-see approach?
Probably. you know, we'll find out in about a year.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of old adages on Wall Street, and I just love them because there's wisdom behind them. And one of them is you don't try to catch a falling knife. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of falling knives right now in the market. And so, you know, we can pick on a couple. Some of these memory names like, well, you know, Western Digital or SanDisk, you know, everybody had to be in those. Mm-hmm. Even the institutions, you know, even though they knew they were overvalued, they kept buying those shares. And the math just doesn't add up. Those things don't go to the moon. And now they're going down. And people are like, I can't believe how low it's going. You know, I'm not going to sell. But if it goes any lower, I will, you know. Yeah. And then more and more people come on and it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy to the downside. And so when you see stocks that are down 40, 50, 60%, that's, you know, a pretty big gulp that those holders have to take if they didn't take their profits. But not only that, a lot of those won't be coming back. Or if they are, they won't be coming back anytime soon.
Right.
And people find that hard to believe. You know, Cisco Systems is a darling from the 90s that did fantastic. It took 25 years for that stock to come back. So if you thought Cisco was a fantastic company, you were absolutely right. But if you hung on to that stock for 25 years, let's just say you didn't do very well.
How do you know if a particular company, particular stock, I mean, because you can always find like the biggest losers when you look at the stock market, et cetera. And if a stock has dropped significantly and you see like the 1 year high is, I don't know, could be as much as five times as much as it currently is.
Right.
How do you know which one of those stocks might actually rebound? I mean, is it just based on research? Is it based on the type of company, a type of market they're in? How do you know that maybe grabbing some of those stocks at really discounted prices is actually a good financial move for the long term? Not so much immediate, but long term, like 5 years or so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It comes down to research. It comes down to working with a professional portfolio manager such as myself and what we do at Collins and Kronk. And it's not one of those things that just anybody can do. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be hearing about in the next 6 months or in the next year, lots of people who try to do some bottom fishing here and they grabbed one of those things and it did fantastic and good for them. You're going to hear a lot more people who started buying some of those things and thinking that they had bottomed and they went lower and lower and lower. And that's the problem when you get into some of these overinflated parts of the market. It's also why we stay diversified at Collins and Kronk. You know, if you think about what we're doing, and we've had a few clients, you know, or newer clients and saying, you know, why don't you own more tech and more AI? And why do you have these limits on what, how much you'll buy in a specific sector? And it's all about managing the risk. You know, if we get too much risk in one sector, you run the risk of losing people's money. Our number one rule is don't lose the money, right? And so we want to make sure that we're following that. And so that means remaining diversified, not just by company. You know, we've got several different companies, but by sector. And so people say, well, why do you own these bank stocks that haven't gone anywhere? Guess what? They're on fire right now. Mm-hmm. Why do you own some of these consumer or retail names? They haven't done anything for months. Guess what's going up now? It's those. And if you don't have those in your portfolio, you're probably just suffering the downturn and not even getting any gains.
We had a story out earlier in the week. Americans are changing their eating and food shopping habits, maybe going to some of those cheaper stores, the Aldi's, the Dollar General, you know, the Walmart to get their groceries. And also, with any employee or any business, you need to stay relevant. I see General Mills is fighting to stay relevant as consumers change their habits.
I don't know why General Mills has any problems. You have to buy all of their cereals to make Chex Party Mix. And I tell you what, we buy a ton of that stuff. My family eats Chex Party Mix like it's going out of style. So I don't know what the deal is with that, but you're right. The consumer has to pay attention, especially when budgets get tight and things of that nature. But really, I'm seeing more and more signs that the consumer is doing well. And in fact, we've got two people just in the last week called in, clients of ours, who said, you know what? We are doing so well in this market. We want to come in and take another look at our plan. You know, the plan drives everything. We talk about the market, which is certainly fun and important, but the market is nothing if we don't know what we're spending that money on. So can we retire? Two people have said, hey, we're thinking of retiring earlier than we were, maybe 5 years earlier. Let's run the numbers now that we've gotten all this extra growth the last couple of years. Right. That's exciting to me. That's why we do all this stock market stuff, so that people can retire, so they can send their kids to school, so they can, you know, buy that new sports car that they've always wanted.
Talk to me about prediction markets, because I know Minnesota passed the first in the nation law banning them. However, a federal judge pumping the brakes, temporarily blocking that. is a Democratic Attorney General Keith Ellison, you know, the Trump administration Republican side. Is this a, like a political fight, or is there concerns we should be worried about, or is this a good thing?
All of that, you know. So it's like, do we want a casino outside of Moorhead? Do we want, you know, gambling in every gas station on the corner? It's just another form of gambling. And so, yeah, you know, it's the prediction markets, you know. And so pick one, you know, what's going to happen in the midterms? Who's going to control the House? The idea that you can just go on your phone or go anywhere and make a bet on anything isn't necessarily the kind of economy or kind of world or country I want to live in, because what that stuff does is it makes the casinos, in other words, the people offering those markets, very, very wealthy. Yeah. It's a big drain of cash out of the pockets of our citizens. And so I'm not necessarily in favor of it, but I don't think we're going to be able to stop it.
No, but my kind of thought on that too, Brian, then, is that Is it different in a sense? I mean, I know it's basically gambling. I mean, it's kind of a combination between gambling and playing the stock market. But it seems as though there's more opportunities for those that have insider information or confidential information that they can make money on that prediction market, more so than, like, because if you have someone that's fudging games, you know, they're shaving points, etc. That's a huge scandal. And
you're,
if you've got these
right
prediction markets, and it's someone that works in, you know, let's say someone that works in an industry like yourself, not obviously yourself, I'm not saying that, but I mean, if you've got information that you know that this company's going, it's got an initial IPO or things like that, if you bet on that and you've got that insider info, it seems like it might be harder to police than maybe gambling or stock markets, et cetera.
So, yeah, so let's differentiate a couple of things. So what we do in investing, you know, the stock market, I almost like cringe when you say playing the stock market.
Yeah.
There's no playing here involved. We're investing people's money into great American companies. Mm-hmm. It's the most proven way to create wealth in the world is to own high-quality productive assets. It's all about ownership. It's not about making a bet. What the prediction markets are is saying, hey, I bet there's somebody sitting in that blue outhouse over there. Do you think there is? I'll bet you $100.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's that guy, that annoying guy from the 1970s who wanted to bet on everything. I bet we see a blue car before we see a red car. I bet the first foreign license plate that we see is going to be from Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, it's that. That's what's going on. They're monetizing all of that. And you are absolutely right. The guy in the car who's making that bet might know that there's a bunch of Iowa license plates coming down the road. There's no policing. There's no regulation. Mm-hmm. And already there's been a lot of issues with insiders betting on those kinds of things because they know, you know, hey, if they're doing something in Congress or whatever, they might know what the odds are of that person getting, you know, elected or not elected. So, yeah, it's a dangerous area to go into. It's one thing making a bet with your buddy about a football game. It's a whole other thing when you make this across the entire nation and you got companies making profits off of it.
See, he knows things. Mm-hmm. How do our listeners find you, Brian?
It's so easy. You just give us a call. We're at 235-0119, or you can stop in our offices at NP Avenue, 300 NP Avenue, downtown Fargo, Collins and Kronk.
Thank you for your time. We'll catch you next Wednesday.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk. He joins us every Wednesday right here on Bonnie and Friends right around 7:45 to talk money and markets. It is 7:57. 8 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 8:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here. It kind of looks like smoky, hazy. Is it going to look like that all day? Or?
Yeah, it's we'll see a little bit of that throughout the day, kind of that upper level smoke, and that'll lead to that hazy sunshine. But it's not going to keep temps down. We're looking at the highs topping out right around 97 today, with heat advisories in effect from Fargo northward, and south winds about 5 to 15. Partly cloudy tonight, down to 70. Increasing clouds on Thursday. The morning will be dry, but we'll see showers and storms come in the afternoon. We'll have highs in the about 86 range, and then showers and storms continue Thursday evening before ending overnight. And that will lead to temperatures in the 80s, upper 80s, Friday, Saturday, back in the 90s, Sunday, Monday. And then all indications are a nice Canadian air mass moves in for Tuesday onward of next week. So that would be good news if that can hold through WeFest weekend. That'd be a nice break.
Absolutely.
For everybody out there camping. You know, not fun camping in 90-degree heat in a tent.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Mm-mm.
That's no fun.
All right. Thanks, Dino. 803, Bonnie and Friends Inbox, brought to you by Glass Doctor Otto of Fargo-Moorhead. Contact Reed and his team today at glassdoctorotto.com, because that chip can turn into a real budget buster. You can always get a hold of us, studio at wdayradionow.com. Coming up on Saturday, you are all invited to a backyard barbecue. at 701 Boutique and Antiques in Hankinson, North Dakota. They are celebrating their one-year anniversary. It's a one-of-a-kind specialty shop down there. We talked to Shannon about a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. More than 30 vendors under one roof. Go down, see what they have. And also, they're serving up a free chicken dinner with birthday cupcakes.
With cupcakes.
You could win door prizes.
Yeah.
And they're going to have music, too.
Well, it's going to be a great little a celebration of their one-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And how awesome is it to have a business that also helps promote other businesses when you look at it that way?
And go support small businesses, right?
Yeah. And
a little shopping there.
A little shopping down in Hankinson. Nice, quiet little community down there. And get a chance to get some free food, a cupcake. I mean, you can't go wrong with cupcakes, really.
Music, right? Just a nice, enjoyable day.
Absolutely.
This Saturday from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m., it's at 107 Main Avenue South, Hankinson, North Dakota. That's 701 Boutique and Antiques. And stop in and see what they have. I mean, they've got a mixture of like vintage stuff. They've got new stuff. They've got food items, beef, farm fresh eggs, you name it, bakery goods, and new and repurposed decor. I mean, something for everybody.
Yeah, you're going to be able to find something. And as you mentioned earlier when we talked about it, Bonnie, you know, it's already, you know, we're past the midway point of the year. You might, if you see something on sale, it kind of reminds you of somebody special. You might want to just tuck that away for early Christmas present.
I mean, yourself. A me gift. I like that.
Me gifts are always nice.
They're the best.
I greatly appreciate when I buy myself a gift.
There you go.
I'm very thankful.
I'm with you. It is 8:05. We're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:09, time for a check on our WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The Minnesota Vikings have suspended their defensive backs coach, Gerald Alexander, for the next 3 weeks without pay following a drunken driving charge for an incident that happened earlier this year. The Vikings made the announcement when they began training camp yesterday afternoon that the suspension actually began this past Friday, will go into effect until August 13th, which is 2 days prior to the first preseason game against the New York Giants. In a release, Alexander said that he takes full responsibility for the situation he put himself in and apologizes for not meeting the mark. And knowing that it's unacceptable, understands the suspension, and I'm committed to learning from the matter, ensuring that he comes back as a better version of himself. According to court records from Hennepin County, Alexander pled guilty on July 16th to gross misdemeanor charge of third-degree driving while impaired for refusal to submit a chemical test. Fourth-degree driving while impaired charge was dismissed. He was sentenced to 48 hours of community service, placed on 2 years of unsupervised probation, and fined $603. The call happened around 4 a.m. on April 26th when there was a report for a vehicle stopped in the middle of the intersection with a driver that was unresponsive. As for Alexander, he's beginning his 10th year of coaching in the NFL. He was with the Pittsburgh Steelers this past season and actually served 2 years while with the Miami Dolphins underneath current defensive coordinator Brian Flores when he was the head coach in Miami. And the Vikings are underway for camp here with veterans having full participation this upcoming weekend. The University of Minnesota is given an incentive and a slight raise to men's basketball head coach Nico Medved. The University Board of Regents approving the contract amendment this week as part of a regular monthly meeting, giving Medved a $100,000 pay bump on top of the $100,000 annual increase on his initial six-year deal. He's now signed through the 2031-2032 season. He's going to make $3.2 million this upcoming 26-27 season, which ranks at the bottom of the Big Ten, actually, a 17th out of 18 head coaches, according to university documents. The Gophers were 15-18 last year, 8-12 in Big Ten play. It was Medved's first season at the helm with the Gophers, but it was a lineup that was decimated due to injuries, and he is now entering year 14 as a head coach. He had stops at Drake and Furman, and then spent 7 seasons at Colorado State prior to taking the job with the Gophers this past year. On the diamond, the Minnesota Twins walking off the Kansas City Royals 3-2 in their series opener on Tuesday night. It was a 2-1 deficit in the ninth inning for the Twins before Royce Lewis would hit a 2-RBI walk-off triple off the top of the right center field wall, helping the Twins improve to 54-54 on the season. We're 5 days away from the trade deadline as the Twins continue the middle game of this three-game set against their divisional foe Royals at 6:40 tonight on Twins TV, with Joe Ryan scheduled to be on the mound for Minnesota. Randy Dobnik, former Minnesota Twins starter, is countering for Kansas City. As for the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they return home to the friendly confines of Newman Outdoor Field for the next week, and unfortunately, the opener of that homestand, ended it with an L. They fall to the Lincoln Salt Dogs 5-3 last night. Three pitchers tossing at least a full inning apiece. 5 1/3 innings, giving up 4 runs from Bryce Brasfield. He was tagged with the loss. Tripp Clark, Brian Fuentes, Eden Byrne, each picking up an RBI as the Redhawks fall to 32-30 on the year. First pitch of Game 2 of this three-game set is tonight at 7:02. On the hardwood last night from Minneapolis, the Minnesota Lynx, fresh off the All-Star break, would defeat the Toronto Tempo 100-93 thanks to a second quarter that propelled them to a 28-15 run that separated them in that victory. Olivia Miles had 24 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists, while you ended up with 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a couple of steals for Nafisa Collier. The Lynx are now up to a WNBA best record of 23-6 on the year. They're riding an 8-game winning streak, and they will actually battle the Tempo again on Thursday night for the second time in 3 nights. This time, though, they're going to head north of the border to Toronto for that bout. And tonight at 6:30 Primetime Sports, we'll get you ready to roll as we're in the middle of the week and we approach media days and, of course, NFL training camps that are all getting underway this week.
I like when you have people, when they make a mistake, they own those mistakes. They don't try to lie. They don't try to cover up. It speaks to the quality of what kind of person they are.
They are. And there was kind of not necessarily a saying, but it's like in my last career, it was like, you only make it worse if you lie about what happened. And I think that's true for any job, any position, any person, any situation, because if you lie about it and say it didn't happen or you didn't do this, et cetera, you're just going to make things worse for yourself.
Yep. And I bring this up because it goes to show San Francisco 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan what kind of guy he is. He was involved in a car crash a couple of weeks ago in which he collided with a vehicle driven by a 21-year-old woman. She was not seriously hurt, but he had broken ribs, a concussion, broken nose, broke his hand. He had to have stitches. Yep. He had some pretty significant injuries. Yep. He didn't have to. No charges have been filed out here, but he came out and said he had dropped his cell phone. He said he wasn't on his cell phone. It was sitting on his lap. It fell. He was reaching down to grab his cell phone.
Took his eyes off the road.
Yep, crossed the center line and collided with the other vehicle.
Yeah, because he actually, I think there was this, a thing that came out yesterday, because originally I think in the news article it said something about the female driver in the other vehicle. She was the one that crossed the line, and he went out there and he publicly corrected it himself and said, no, it was my fault, I'm the one that crossed the center line. So that's the type of guy he is. I mean, he's not going to put blame on someone that it wasn't their fault. And obviously it's a situation that can happen to any of us, even if we're not on our vehicle, you know, on our phone. If you have it sitting in your lap or something like that, you drop it. Heck, you drop food. You know, how many times have we lost a French fry down between the center console and our seat? You know, you could be reaching down for anything. Sometimes you get distracted with little ones in the vehicle and they're doing something in the back and you turn and look at them. If you're driving at a speed on the highway, on the freeway, and you're distracted for just a moment, you can cross that center line and accidents can happen. But he's saying, no, this was my fault. It's my bad.
He didn't have to.
No,
he
absolutely
nobody
didn't.
Was pressing on, nope. on it. The police didn't file any charges. Yeah. He just came out. He was being interviewed, and he just spoke to a small group of reporters, and he wanted to explain from his vantage point to make it clear that it was his fault. And it's like, what a stand-up guy for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good on him.
Couple of interesting, controversial things going on in the schools. In New York, there is a small school district that was going to use an AI-powered humanoid robot in the classroom. Salamanca City Central School District.
What was it supposed to be used for?
Like a teacher. For like people that like are in robotics type classroom.
Oh, okay, well that maybe makes a little more sense.
I don't know though, because you know, if this humanoid is doing inappropriate things, if say you're 13, 14 years old, you're not going to report that. What kind of behavior is going to happen without any supervision?
And you've seen some of these humanoid robots. There's been like contests over like in Japan or something, and they've got the robots like dancing or something or doing a backflip, and it's funny because they're out there dancing and it's like, I can't remember the one I saw. I don't know, it was doing a Michael Jackson dance or something,
and
it malfunctioned. It tripped on a stair that was right there and it tripped and it fell over and it kind of kept trying to do whatever, but it couldn't get back up. So you got to worry about weird things like that. And I think the
or students, because they're smart too, yeah, or somebody hacking into it and making it say hacking or do inappropriate things.
Or just messing with it and kind of, in a sense, because I'm sure it probably has some type of AI, it's going to learn stuff. So if the students keep saying, maybe saying an inappropriate word, and the robot's going to learn that's like, oh, this is how I say hi, and it's going to go beep, beep, and you're just like, whoa, what are you doing there?
Well, and this company that makes this humanoid robot also has ties that it's a hyper-realistic sex bots it has produces as well.
All right. So I guess they've got good experience making artificial intelligence robots.
Okay. So this is a rural school district in the corner of upstate New York, Salamanca. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they already had a name for this AI-powered humanoid robot, Sally. Was going to be her name. Long, right, dark hair. She would enhance the education of high school students studying robotics and technology fields.
They must have gotten a grant for that, I guess.
Yeah, they did. Nearly 60,000. Well, it says the school board approved a nearly $60,000 purchase. So I don't know if they got grant or just the school has
just
money.
Had money or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, the robot, I don't know.
Pump
like the brakes on it.
It seems like an awful big expense for a small school in upstate New York. But
and it's on the Seneca Nation of Indians reservation on top of it. Teachers' parents were worried about how the students' personal information would be used. Teachers who belong to a union took aim at the company's sex doll sister company. Even as district officials in the company stress, the two manufacturers operate in independently.
Well, I would hope they work independently.
But still, they're just, like I said. And you're
that seems a little suspect, to say the least. And it's like, I don't know if I want to go quite there. Oh, it'll help the kids learn about robotics. Well, yeah, but maybe they could just build their own robot in class or something. Maybe make a robotic arm or something.
So I don't know what they're going to do. It just says that they're hitting the pause
they're on sending
plans to deploy it. Maybe.
They're going to keep it in storage and not turn it on.
I bet they could find another school district somewhere that will say, hey, we'll take it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. But
as long as it's not connected to Skynet.
Here's another controversial thing in schools. Several U.S. schools are going to be installing pepper spraying drones to respond to school shootings. It looks like at least four schools in Georgia, three in Florida, and one in Colorado are going to be having these drones.
That seems kind of strange, to say the least. Because, in law enforcement, you get trained with pepper spray. Mm-hmm. You get sprayed with the pepper spray so you know what it feels like, how you'd react to it. Because they spray you and then you have to finish handcuffing a suspect or whatever. But just to randomly have drones deploying it, maybe it's more accurate than I think, but I think you'd have some innocent bystanders, maybe some, potentially kids or whatever.
Trying to escape.
Granted, and now you would think, well, I would rather get, accidentally get a little extra of the pepper spray so that way I could live without being shot in a school shooting incident. But it's going to affect your vision. It's going to make it harder to breathe at times for certain people. And so if you're trying to escape or run away from an active shooter, that might not be the best idea, to say the least.
I mean, sure, they might be helpful because drones can be helpful in terms of viewing what's going on inside the school, so law enforcement can do that.
Yep.
But I don't know about the pepper spray. They can fly through windows equipped with sirens. They can drop air poppers that create a loud bang. They carry pepper launcher capable of firing pepper balls at a shooter. Can also be used to deliver kinetic energy strikes against a confirmed attacker. It does say confirmed attacker.
Mm-hmm.
The company says its goal is to escalate the effects in waves of three or four drones, keeping the shooter occupied until he or she can be apprehended. Well, I could see sending like the drones in and using them as a distraction too if they locate and identify where that shooter is.
The
pepper spray aspect? I don't know.
Well, it is pepper balls. I was thinking it was just going to be some type of spray, but... Yeah. Pepper balls, obviously they've got enough technology on it they can shoot them, but it seems as though they're trying to pack a lot into these drones to try and really distract an active shooter. And how are they deployed? Where are they located at? How are you going to get them to said shooter? Especially normally it's going to be within the school because it says go in through windows. Well, normally schools are usually locked up, so you can't just have people randomly wandering in, you know? So I'm just kind of, there's some more details I think I need.
In Georgia, a pilot program for this drone, one school district, the legislature included $550,000 in its annual budget to fund the program?
Jeez, I mean, is
holy it? Holy Hannah. 39 I mean, drones are set to be installed in one Florida high school.
I mean, is this a dangerous school district? I mean, because quite honestly,
that's a lot of money.
It is, and quite honestly, we don't know when these school shootings take place. I mean, there might be warnings of you know, maybe some students that are susceptible to maybe having an issue or something, but it's hard to predict where the next shooting will happen. You know what I mean? And then to dump $500,000 into this, man, you better hope that, number one, it works. And the only way it's going to make sense financially is if it can help prevent those from happening or whatever.
Now, I think the drones could be actually a really useful tool used by law enforcement, because they can also communicate, you know, just like they're shouting out on a
megaphone
or whatever. Yeah. They can use the drones for that. But we'll see, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the company supplying the drones said the Ukraine war inspired the effort here.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're using drones over there, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, super interesting. Dean passed along. I don't know if you guys were listening earlier, but he was talking to Dan Riddle, National Weather Service meteorologist, earlier. So in terms of, we were all wondering, like, how many 90-degree days have we had? If we hit 90, and what's he got, 97 today or something
97,
like that?
97, yeah.
97, okay. So if we have a 90 in the 90s today, which we will, it'll make 13 days in July in which we hit the 90s. The maximum number of 90 degrees in July in North Dakota is 22, and we hit that back in 1936.
So we didn't have to live through that.
And we're closing in. I mean, we've got a few more days here of July. In 1988, in 1989, there were 14 90-degree days, and we're going to hit 13 today.
Yeah, so I mean,
possibly we could tie or break.
I think we'll break it, honestly, as far as that goes, because I believe the next couple, we've got 90 degrees, then we drop down. But then he's got, well, of course,
three more days.
Sunday and Monday, we're going into August, so that's not going to count.
So we've got 3 days to go here.
Yeah, so we probably should tie it.
We should tie it, but we could break it.
But if we get that rain and stuff on Thursday, that might drop the temperatures. So we might, you know, because if it drops the temperatures Thursday evening into Friday, maybe we don't have to put up with a 90-degree day.
So some interesting stats. Yeah. I know a lot of us are wondering, like, how many 90-degree days?
It feels like all of them have been 90 and above.
It's definitely been hot, no doubt about it. 825, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studios. We're going to head to the American Ag Network, then Janae and Ronnie slide in from the coffee club, and we find out what they have planned on today's show. 8:28 coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback. We do it each and every morning right around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this singer who actually topped the country charts in 1970 and also went to number 3 on the pop charts with this song. Fun fact, she was born in Grand Forks, but raised in California. We'll tell you who it is tomorrow morning, Flatline Music Flashback. Ronnie and Janae have arrived from the coffee club. Good morning to the two.
I got a guess on who that might be. I'll tell you off air.
Okay, yeah, don't spoil the secret. Right. Ronnie might be right, too.
Yeah, man, we'll see. Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, is it? It's probably going to be a name. You're going to be like, oh, that's right.
It was a monster hit. No, I don't think people know that there's any North Dakota connections.
Okay.
My guess is maybe dad, perhaps even mom, military-based, just born in Grand Forks.
Because
I don't think most people would believe that, you know, realize that she was from, you know, born here anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Way, interesting. So.
But it was a huge hit.
Well,
and
I mean,
everybody will know it.
Similar deal during, you remember ESPN College Game Day coming here. Everybody's like, Wiz Khalifa? What?
Oh,
they're like, oh, yeah, he was born at Minot Air Force.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what's coming up on the Coffee Club today?
Well, we are going to visit with Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner today. There's a new TikTok trend.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of things that happened out in Horace with it. So we're going to be talking about that with him a little later than normal, but we will be talking with him today. I've got a quiz for Ronnie today because he is like, you know, movies and TV guru over there. So it's I'm going to see if Ronnie can match the catchphrases to the correct TV shows.
He'll be pretty darn good at that.
Did I do that?
I think he'll be good at it, too. Mary and Jen, they're going to stop in today. We're going to talk all about how recycling matters. We're going to be doing that. And people reveal how their parents used to save money.
What you talking about, Willis?
All right. When you talk to Jen, tell her on some of those City of Fargo recycling bins that are relatively new, say like in the past year, they still have that glass is allowed. And so certain people that I know continue to put glass in.
We've gotten calls about
it.
She
needs to send a nasty gram to these people that I know who I've told repeatedly they shouldn't be doing that. But
yeah,
they've got the sites where you can take your glass.
Yeah. I know, but when you get a new, say you're new in the city, you've just moved in and it's right on the thing. It's like,
so you would think it would be okay. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Might want to, maybe that's issue the new cans with a red X over that little, you know, that's
no glass.
Easy
or
fix.
Send a reminder. Maybe they need to do a flyer or something because I'm sure if the people that I know that are doing this probably are not the only ones.
Yes, yes.
But what do I know, right, Janae?
I don't know.
What are you looking at me for?
Carly and Milos, not to throw them under the bus or anything. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right, we're getting out of here. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club. Jace, say goodbye.
You betcha.
We will be back 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Have yourselves a great day.